to be heard this morning, and I'd like to begin with a report from the Regional Internet Registries. That report to be given by Miriam Turner. Please. Sorry, there was a lot of preamble there.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. I apologize for my voice, so I hope I can actually make it through. Otherwise, one of my registry colleagues will have to jump in and help me and continue.
Can you speak up, please?
Oh, see, that's not already.
No, it's
Yeah, it's probably, I guess the audience can understand better than the board, but I try to speak up so you can also understand me.
Miriam, excuse me, just an invitation to the board. If you're having trouble hearing, feel free to move down into the audience. There's no reason for you to be up here during the presentation, so feel free to move if you need it.
Okay, thank you. Well, this presentation has actually been put together by all three regional internet registries, the organization that distributes IP address space worldwide, and that's APNIC, the Asian Pacific Network Information Center, and ARIN, the American Registry for Internet Numbers, and the WIPNCC, that stands for European Network Coordination Center, and that's a bit complicated. My name is Miriam Kühner. I work for the WIPNCC, and as I said, I only did this presentation on behalf of all three RIRs. And I just wanted to give you a quick overview of what the RIRs make to ensure secure, you know, that we provide secure services and reliable services. And a few words as introduction to sort of set the scene and give you the main message. And then a few words about different areas that need to be protected within our operations, and who's actually responsible for that, and how we ensure reliable operations. Just to start with, I want to put your mind to ease and let you know that even if one of the regional internet registries would fail or would not be operational anymore for some time, that wouldn't mean that the internet would fail or that the internet would break down, because first of all, it wouldn't break the internet if you wouldn't be able to allocate IP addresses for a few days. But even more importantly, the RIRs work very closely together, so it would be just natural that the other two RIRs would take over the operations of the one that has problems or is not operational for some time. So that's very important. They really work very closely together, and it wouldn't mean that if the WIPNCC, for instance, in Europe would have problems, that in our whole of Europe wouldn't be visual anymore or wouldn't be able to get IP addresses. Having said that, there are a number of services that the community relies on, and that's mainly reverse mapping in ADA.ARPA, and the WHOIS database that has also come up a number of times during this week. And these services sort of rely on, or they're based on normal operations. So these operations that we have, they're not really any different than any other medium-sized IT or IT organization or ISP. So, and I will go through some of the areas that, or some of the parts of the operations or security areas within our operations. And actually, we've been very stable over the last years, and there weren't any major hiccups. And obviously, we always review our system, our operations, our security, so, and there weren't any major problems. Excuse me. Okay. Having set the scene so far, I want to go through a few areas that we have identified as parts that need to be protected. And that's one area are the servers that are accessible from the outside. For instance, member database, or that's actually mainly internal, where we keep registration data, where we keep membership data. Then there are DNS servers. First of all, the infrastructure, so DNS like in ADA or IP6.ARPA, and also our local DNS. that need to be, you know, properly maintained and operated. Then there's the US database and other servers like mail, FTP, web servers. Then there's obviously the whole network. We all run relatively small networks in our facilities. Then obviously there's the maintenance and security safety of the facility, the location itself. And then there is the actual data that needs to be protected. And last but not least, the DNS part, the reverse mapping. And I'll just go very briefly through all of these areas just to show you what we do to ensure security in all these areas. But you will see in each of these areas, it really is not different than any than things that you know from your own organizations. Any other IT organization or ISP that needs to make sure that the internal data or the customer data is protected and the network is then set up properly. Just here to give you an overview, who's responsible for what parts. Well, obviously the IR, so we as an organization are responsible for most of the things I just mentioned, except for DNS, where we work together with IANA to make sure that the domains are set up properly. And I'll get back to that at the end. What do we need to do to make sure the servers are, secure or accessible and in a reliable fashion? Obviously, they have to be configured properly. There needs to be, proper authentication and authorization to ensure access control. Then there needs to be proper backup. We all have backup plans. We all have sort of offsite storage. We actually all sort of also have secondary mirror each other. For instance, the host databases and other DNS, for instance, we all have some secondary setup for each other. And we all have prudent recovery plans in case something should go wrong, that we wind back to our earlier version, for instance, of the data. Then the actual network, how would you secure a network? Also, again, nothing special about that. You could possibly, set your network up such that different parts of the network are secured in a different way, that you have different security levels, that, for instance, the financial data isn't, accessible from the outside, or that not everyone has a root password, just normal things like that. You could set up filters and firewalls. You have to make sure the routers are configured and set up properly, and that reverse mapping is working. With regard to the location, to the facility itself, all our buildings are, the computer room has proper air conditioning. We make sure it doesn't rain through the roof, things like that, obviously. That's what you also do in your operations. You have fire alarms in place, and excuse me. And we also make sure that there's proper access control, that not everyone can walk into the building, or not everyone has access to the computer room, for instance, like the famous janitor that came up at the beginning of the week here. And obviously, in cases of like power failures, we have UPS, we have backup systems in place. And with respect to the actual data, there are databases. I mentioned, for instance, the publicly available WHOIS database, but also our internal registration and membership database, where we're very careful also with confidentiality and privacy, because we do receive a lot of confidential and internal network and data topology maps in our plans, deployment plans, from organizations, from the ISPs that request IP addresses. And we make sure that this data is not accessible by, for instance, their competitors. And we have set up our operations, our network, such that this is ensured. And last but not least, reverse mapping. I just list here a few domains and who's responsible for that. And there's upper and adder and IP6, so the infrastructure zones that are set up by IANA. IANA is responsible for them. They delegate that then to the RERs. And the RERs are responsible for the sub-delegations under these domains. And this service is really viewed also by the community as a critical service. The ISPs rely on that for their customers. There's RFC 2870, and the DRS make sure they comply with that. And once DNS Back is sort of ready, we will obviously also use that and be working on that. And you might have heard earlier this week, Olaf Kolkman from the WAT NTC is actually, and some others also from other IRs, are working to test DNS Back and make sure it's further developed. And that's actually all I wanted to tell you here. So are there any questions about that?
First, are there any questions from the board? Stuart.
Thank you, Miriam, for an excellent report.
I'd be heard. I just wanted to make sure that I understood that as I understand it, each of the registers is mutually backing up the other to the secondary servers and could instantly come into operation should one fail.
Well, there are various aspects of that, so we haven't really sort of tested all parts of that because so far that has never happened. But for instance, we have secondaries for our DNS servers, we have secondaries for each other, we mirror each other's databases, so that's also accessible in the other regions. And we have not tested, but theoretically, when you think through it, it's not a very hard job to also back up the IP allocation services. If like we would fail and we wouldn't be able to hand out address space, the other regional registries know exactly what areas we are responsible or what ranges we are responsible for, and so they could also take that over and for some time until we're operational again.
Carl? I'm sorry, go ahead.
I know it's awfully hard to do testing because you're in a live situation, but I wonder whether there are any plans to do any at least moderate testing to the extent one can.
Yes, we are planning to do this also, and obviously it's much easier to do these tests if it's not in an emergency situation, and so we are talking about doing that before an emergency actually can take place.
Thank you very much.
Carl Arma?
Yeah, another question. Microphone's not on. Okay, another question. Just roughly, what's the cumulative per second transaction rate on average against DNAT or ARPA zone? Just real rough number. How many transactions, queries a second against DNAT or ARPA? Any idea?
Somebody else, Daniel, can you pick that up maybe? Do you have the data there? I don't have the data.
Just order of magnitude sort of thing. And also the other question.
How many updates?
Sure. And also the other question I would have is roughly, how big is the zone? How big is the zone file? If you added them together, about how big would they be? Sure. The real rough numbers. I'm just basically curious whether they fit on a CD-ROM or not.
Yeah.
Okay, just one other. Is there anything else from the board? At the risk of destroying Miriam's voice, one other question. In terms of testing of assignment, would it be a mess if you were to assign a block of IP addresses and then de-assign them? In other words, can a test be done in an almost live fashion with a block of addresses that will simply go into the system and then come back out again? Is that a safe thing to do?
No, I don't think it would be a mess if the organization will actually know that this is happening so that they don't start like using the address space. But there is not that much, there's not that much happening actually with an IP allocation. It needs to be registered in the database, needs to be registered internally in our own archives, and the organization needs to be informed. And so there's not much more to that.
I think the two obvious things are to make sure that a test of that kind is done on a regular basis so staff can be trained in some sense, so that whoever is working in the institution will know how to do it.
Yeah.
And then as long as it doesn't mess up any of the records, that would be helpful.
Maybe one addition before then, that's something. We are actually planning to, in order to ensure or to further improve aggregation, we are actually seriously thinking about sharing ranges of address space so that we can, improve increase the space, the contiguous space, so that we don't separate the ranges per region, because technically that is not really necessary. And so that would also be one way to work together and to improve the to really work on one range, and so that would be even easier than to pick up operations of another registry.
This, Daniel, before you start, normally we don't do open microphones in the middle of these. No. But I would like to make an exception as long as it isn't too overburdening.
No, and I just wanted to reemphasize what Miriam is saying, that the processes are not all that complicated. So it's not actually necessary to test them to a very large degree. I'm not immediately part of the contingency planning, but I would think that before you have actually another registry taking over operations, you would try to rebuild the current registry. Even if there's a, say, catastrophic failure on them, what you would need to do is hire some office space, hire some computers, and rebuild it with the people there. And only if you really have a very catastrophic failure, you would want to switch to another registry. And there the main problem is actually getting the communications lines between the customers and that registry established. And not so much the internal registry procedures, but to tell all those customers, it's like, now you have to go to this other place in a different continent, and how to contact them and do all these things. And if you want to exercise that, that's a major cost.
Thank you very much. Are there any other questions? Thank you very much, Miriam. I'd like to call on Phil Shepherd now, who is going to orchestrate quite a number of reports from our DNSO organization.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will do my best. What I was planning on doing, I had planned things according to the printed agenda I had. I noticed a slight difference on the agenda behind me. Which also indicates an alarming seeding already of certain registries and registrars from the DNSO. However, I presume this is not too precipitous. And what I'm planning on doing is taking just a chunk of all the DNSO reports together, if that's acceptable.
Yes, I think that's an inversion that was by accident. Consider that DNSO will come after the CCPLD registries.
Okay. So I'd like to first call on Rita Roden from the GTLD registries. And in a moment, I'll be calling on Mike Pallage, Peter DeBlanc, and Milton Muller to give other reports. So perhaps they could come to the front of the room and make themselves known. But in the meantime, Rita Roden on behalf of GTLD Registries, please. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm going to tell you a little bit about some of the security measures that the GTLD Registry constituency has been discussing. As a preliminary matter, I want to note, so that no one is alarmed, that each of the registries, as they're getting up and running, and we're pleased to say that ICANN continues to make excellent progress in getting the agreements signed with the new registries, but each of these registries, as they're getting up and running, are obviously implementing their own security procedures. But what the constituency is trying to do is get sort of a baseline and a best practices document, if you will, so that there's some uniformity across these TLDs. Sorry, introduction to PowerPoint 101. Okay, so in June of 2001, the constituency formed a number of task forces to deal with some substantive issues. One of them was a registry failure task force. And in preparation for these meetings, the mission of that task force was expanded to include security issues. The first thing that the task force did was prepare a document that outlined some of the best practices that the constituency is going to try to adhere to. At the constituency meeting yesterday, the task force membership was expanded to include technical representatives of each of the registries so that we could have the benefit of their technical expertise in developing these technical areas. The constituency also reviewed the best practices document draft that we have, which we distributed to you then, the initial draft of this document. It's also going to be posted on the ICANN website. The constituency reviewed the draft, and this is the result of that review. The constituency also tasked this expanded task force to meet within the next 2 weeks and start working on a more formal and final document. One of the first tasks of this task force was to prepare a timetable to complete the document and obviously continue to expand it. A little bit about the draft. The purpose of the draft, as I said, is to provide best practice guidelines for all the GTLD registries. And the GTLD registry constituency continues to be very committed to the preservation and promotion of the stability of the Internet. And we recognize that one of the most important elements of this commitment is to ensure operational integrity of all of these registries. And the task force sees two principal elements of operational integrity, reliability and performance of these systems. And really the goal of the registries is to make sure that we preserve consumer and user confidence in our services, including things like root servers, name server constellation stability, and obviously our registry registration systems. These are some of the topics that our paper is going to encompass at a very general level. Physical security, data security, disaster recovery, network security, application security, and availability. Some other issues that we talked about yesterday at the meeting were forming guidelines for confidential security self-assessments. We'll do this in consultation with CERT and obviously other members of the Internet community. We also talked about the need to differentiate to some extent in terms of security between thick and thin registry models. And finally, we want to make sure that we achieve a balance between the costs, which can be obviously prohibitive, in ensuring security versus the risks involved in having a degraded user experience and a customer experience by having sort of an overabundance of security procedures. We want to let everyone know that this best practices document is indeed a live document. You can go view it on the web, and we welcome any comments or suggestions that you may have. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions from the board? Stuart.
Thank you very much for that excellent report. I wonder whether any consideration have been given not just to distributing best practices for any form, anything that relates to self-assessment or audit reporting against best practices?
Yeah, we were talking about having confidential self-assessments. We're going to try to deal with CERT and any other members of the community that want to give us some input about what those self-assessments can include. You know, comments are welcome.
And that would include reporting to within the constituency? Or I know there's some confidentiality issues, but I just wondered to what extent you pursued that.
I think we'll definitely have that discussion. I mean, obviously, to some extent, the reporting might be an issue with this, you know, the different TLDs reporting to each other, but I'm sure that we'll consider that and discuss it.
This is one question that I would like for you to consider in the constituency is whether there would be any way of reporting to the board or to ICANN anyway, some sense of how well everyone's doing against the various assessments. I think that's what Stuart was getting at. Even if it's not specific to a particular registry, a sense for what the aggregate registries feel. Their level of confidence is and their performance against security and reliability would be helpful.
Well, that definitely sounds like something we can do, and we'll talk about that in our meetings.
Yeah, I would really urge that because it's very important as we move forward and think about security that the community, you know, can knowingly have confidence in what's happening in some form of reporting. I would urge is going to be essential for all of us.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Thank you very, very much.
Thanks, Ben.
Rita, thank you. We now hear from Michael Pelage on behalf of the GTLD Registrars constituency.
Good morning. My name is Mike Pelage. I'm the chair of the Registrar constituency. The constituency met both on Monday and yesterday to discuss a range of topics. Regarding security-related topics, yesterday's discussion was focused on two particular issues. First was a best practice document with regard to DNS security. The second was escrow and data recovery in the event of registrar failure. Regarding the first topic, best practice with regard to DNS security, there was an event last month in which a particular registrar's DNS was compromised, resulting in a temporary redirection of a number of websites. In light of this, the constituency is working to come up with a best practice document to discuss these particular issues. We were fortunate yesterday to be joined in our discussion by a representative from Yahoo who offered a lot of insight from a first-hand perspective on how to address security issues. Our CTO, Rick Wesson, of the Registrar constituency, will be working with Bruce Tonkin and some industry observers to put forward a document that will represent, we hope, a best practice document to increase security. The second topic of discussion was escrow and data recovery in the event of a registrar failure. On November 8th, ICANN posted a registrar escrow document. We had a rather thorough discussion looking through numerous legal and technical implementation issues regarding registrant choice, bankruptcy, insolvency, a number of issues. The constituency will be working with Dan Holland to prepare a document which will be circulated and submitted to the broader ICANN community to enhance these particular issues and make it work towards implementation. That is it.
Thank you very much. That certainly sounds like good progress indeed. Are there any questions? Apparently not. Thank you very much. Oh, I'm sorry. Carl.
With regard to escrow, I mean, this has been something that's been hanging around, like, for years. When can we expect that there actually be a working escrow system, one that's actually been tested and we know we can recover from?
I agree, it's much overdue. Everyone in the constituency recognizes it's long overdue, and there was talks of weeks, some of months. There's a couple of things that we did learn that I think, at least from our discussions yesterday on this topic. Number one was we have to have a true test bed, not a test bed where someone tries to implement something and then learn on the fly. This would be a test bed upon which ICANN would identify a number of small registrars to begin testing this implementation. I believe it was the opinion of at least the registrars in the room that the term test bed has been somehow manipulated within the ICANN process of late. So we are looking for a true test bed where a small number of registrars can begin implementing it. Some of the problems, though, that we do see with regarding escrow is the distinction between thin and thick registries. The document which was primarily prepared approximately 12 months ago was during a was I think initially geared towards the thin registry which VeriSign works, which VeriSign registry employs, and does not take into account the EPP protocols and the thick registry that new level and affiliates are using. There was also some concerns with regard to the security tokens associated with the registries and a number of other legal issues. So as far as identifying all these different things and potential bonding requirements, because the document which was put forward yesterday gives registrars two choices. They can either use ICANN or they could use a third party. So there is some question as to how other third parties will be accredited. Follow-up question, Carl?
Two of them. When I hear choices with respect to data backups, I hear disaster in recovery. That somebody will recover and they'll discover that they have format A to recover from, but they only know how to read format B?
In the document, there is, I believe, and again, and Louis or Dan, please correct me, there are, I believe, two formats in which the data can be offered. I believe it's either XML or a standard text format. Again, these are some of the things that we're looking for. There are also, as far as implementations, concerns with regard to whether we were going to be burning things on disks and storing them in security vaults, whether we would be using FTP, which is not a secured method, and other secured methods to be encrypting and transferring the data. One of the things that we realized is we wanted to stay focused on concepts. We did not want to micromanage the process where ICANN or registrars would be dictating the specific implementations. We wanted to keep focus on how we can achieve the meaningful implementation of this particular system if there was a failure.
Again, I see two formats. I see too many problems. I would suggest nailing it down with one only format and just testing it to death with different drives, you know, throw away the equipment you used to write it with, read it back with different equipment. I've been through so many situations where, you know, it's panic mode, and you're trying to recover, and you suddenly discover you can't. And I'm just really afraid of that happening here. The other thing is, I looked through the formats in the escrow documents, and one has to remember, when we're talking about internationalized domain names, it's not just the domain names that are internationalized, it's the names of the people who are registering, their addresses, their phone numbers, their countries. And at least one of those formats, to my mind, doesn't handle that.
And we agree. And as I said, I tried to keep my particular comments focused on just purely security-related issues. But I do agree that such issues as transfers, international domain names, do have an interaction with data escrow. Again, I tried to limit my comments today, particularly to security, but I do agree that issues such as transfers, thick and thin registries and IDNs do have the potential ability to complicate data recovery.
Could I make a suggestion? I'm struggling a little bit.
Well, I think this is really, really important. Like, this to me is the greatest threat to the internet right now, is you know, some registrar's building burning down and not having backups.
I understand, Carl, but could I make a suggestion to you? This discussion is going to continue, I assume, within the registrar's group. Carl, could you conceivably take some time to participate in that?
Was on the committee.
Okay. I'm sorry, Amadeo.
Michael, as you said, one set of issues are related to security itself. Another one are more managerial because of the special nature of the .com or .net current registry, where all the registrants' data is at the registrar level only. So here there are also some managerial and, let's say, some duties regarding the registrants in case of failure or bankruptcy or dispersion of any registrar. You said that you are trying to reach a best practice approach. Do you think this would be enough, taking into account that many registrars are not part of the constituency? Do you think that there is any room for board action on that in implementing the contracts?
I think, Amadeo, if you look in the registrant agreement, there is a provision that once ICANN adopts escrow policies, that they will immediately be contractually bound. So I do not believe that there is a problem with contractual enforcement, unlike the current disagreement with regard to transfers and whether it's contractual or consensus-based. I believe if you look at the documents, the escrow is already contractually provided for, and ICANN would have the means to enforce that without any additional board activity. Again, Louis or Dan could comment on that.
Okay. Stuart.
I'm just curious, Michael, this is my own information, but one of the things that the management side of security that I know I'm familiar with is sometimes called upstream management, and to what extent the registrars interact with the registries in terms of understanding what security they provide, because you certainly depend on what they do.
Yes, obviously with the thick registries, this interaction is probably even more vital. There's one of the things that has been raised, it at least has been brought to the attention of the registrar constituency, is some inconsistent data between registrars and some of the new thick registries. This raises, I think, a very serious question regarding what is the authentic data? What is the reliable data to rely upon? Is this what's in the thick registry, or is what is stored at the local registrar? I believe that in talking with at least representatives from affiliates in New Level, that they believe that their registry being thick is the definitive data. So again, these are some additional issues which the registrars will be interacting with our providers, the registries, to solve this, because security and stability is an issue not only for one constituency, but I think for all constituencies, ICANN and the internet community at large.
Are there any other questions? Thank you. Oh, sorry. I guess we got, you guys are going to have to be faster on the gun here. Andy.
Just a short question about privacy. Is there any plans already to fulfill also European privacy laws when transferring registry?
Yes, the European registrars, several of them raised that issue. And one of the things which we are trying to do, a suggestion was brought up that this particular document that we are working on might potentially be vetted through the GAC to get input from them to see whether that on its face, whether there would be potentially any compliance issues. So we are very sensitive to that particular issue. It has been raised by a number of European registrars, and that is definitely an element that we are considering and take very seriously.
I think that's it. Thank you very much.
We're just setting up a presentation on behalf of the CCs, so while we're doing that, I'll invite Milton Muller on behalf of the non-commercial domain name holders constituency. Milton.
This is an odd format. Am I talking to you or to the audience?
Well, I think you're talking to both, and I know it feels funny. I was trying to figure out if we should rotate that thing a little bit, but if you're not too, it's all right. If it's not too uncomfortable for you, pretend that we're staring at the back of your head.
The non-commercial constituency is a user constituency and does not have direct operational interface in most cases with the DNS, although some of us are involved with Education Research Network, which of course run name servers. In our discussions of security, we're led by a rather long statement, a resolution that was actually submitted to our constituency by Alejandro and was amended through a consensus process. The statement effectively notes that non-commercial members, many of our members may be less able to recover and have fewer resources to deal with security, and therefore are supportive of efforts to handle security-related problems. We also note that many of our members are in university and research centers with high levels of technical expertise. And essentially, we call upon our technically strong members and their peers to help ICANN in the effort to assess threats and to provide the community with their expertise. We note that the expertise in non-commercial organizations may be a useful dissemination point for security-related information because it is non-proprietary, and therefore there may be a more open sharing of this information.
I'm sorry,
and so we broadly offer the technical and policy expertise of our members, of the high standing of some of them in their societies, and the intercultural experience of the constituency to the process of assessing and securing the resources under ICANN's administration. The resolution was amended in the following way. We note that the debate on security may have consequences for civil liberties, and that the debate should be sensitive to those concerns. We note that decisions on security should, to the greatest extent possible, that is, decisions taken by ICANN, should be focused on technical rather than policy concerns. And we believe that security should not become grounds to curtail public participation or public representation in ICANN. There are a few other fairly minor practical suggestions made about security at our meeting. One of them was that we found that the presentations were extremely educational, and that despite the fact that they are archived via webcasting, that this is not useful for many members in developing countries or many other members who might not be that fluent in English. And we would encourage you to do repertoire summaries of these sessions and to, when possible, collect the prepared remarks in textual format rather than PowerPoint. We have one volunteer in our constituency who is willing to rapporteur at least one of the plenary sessions, and we would urge other constituencies to volunteer to do other sessions. We think the information needs to be more widely disseminated. This is fundamentally a consciousness-raising session for us. And finally, noting the comments of Randy Bush yesterday about the security on the wireless network, we simply made a suggestion. We thanking ICANN for providing network connectivity at these meetings and asking it to lead by example to enable all users to participate in the network in a safe and secure manner. Thank you.
I think the best way to do that is for people to use encryption end-to-end from their client machines, whether it's tunnels, encrypted tunnels back to their private networks.
There was a debate about that, we didn't know whether to say anything about this, whether it was the users had the option and weren't using it, so we had this very general statement.
Okay, as far as I know, I've been running LTTP tunnels back to my network with no apparent problem, unless Randy comes and tells me that he's cracked the crypto on there. Are there any questions from Milton? Thank you very much.
And I'll call upon Peter LeBlanc on behalf of the CCTLD's registry. I think also we have a presentation. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Peter LeBlanc, and I'm speaking for the chairman of the administrative committee of the CCTLD constituency. We met over a three-day period in Marina Del Rey, 11 November to 14 November, and we held three sessions on security during those days. One was a special workshop on internet stability and security presented and led by Kilnam Chan. The next was the DNS after 11 September, presented and led by Jaap Akkerhuis. And finally, shared secondary name servers for CCTLD registries, presented and led by Sabine Dolderer. In a wrap-up of session of 14 November, we developed some action items and established working groups for the following matters. First, relations with IANA. This is establishment of some emergency procedures for updates to the IANA database due to a CCTLD primary name server going offline as a result of some catastrophic event. Now, historically, and before I say this, I'll say that IANA is working on improving the process. Simple name server changes take a certain amount of administrative time. It seems to be averaging about a week now. But of course, if we have a situation where a CCTLD's primary name server goes offline for a catastrophic reason, we would need to have some mechanism where we could have a substitute record inserted as quickly as possible. And part of that would involve an agreed-upon method to authenticate the CCTLD manager to IANA, some type of encryption system. We understand that Network Solutions VeriSign is using this now, so it should not be too difficult to extend it to a CCTLD. We also need a 24/7, 365-day-a-year mechanism to access a human being at IANA in the event of such catastrophe. So we established a working group to develop a document and to interface with the IANA on those matters. We are also developing a specialized CCTLD security best practices document. We established a working group for that. CCTLD does have its existing best practices document, which provides for appendices to be inserted. This document hopefully forms as a model for local CCTLD registry best practices, which they would adopt as much as they could and publish the best practices that they agree to adhere to on their websites. So, considering that the security issues are constantly changing, it's a moving target, we decided to establish a working group to come up with a best practices document on security, including the traditional references to RFCs that deal with security and new current practices that are coming up as a result of sessions such as we've had here over the last few days. Finally, we've established a working group to develop the concepts of and facilitation of implementation. What Sabine Dolderer presented to us on the shared secondary and backup name servers for CCTLDs. Some sort of proactive, aggressive stance here is definitely required. Right now, the secondary CCTLD server operations are pretty much happening because someone knows someone else in another country and they agree to exchange backup server services, if you will, or secondary name server services. We feel that with a working group with the CCTLD organization, we will be able to coordinate this, conduct an outreach program, and proactively look to the CCs, particularly emerging CCs, developing country CCs, that may not have adequate infrastructure and may not have the appropriate and suitable secondary server network in position. And we intend to facilitate that. Finally, we received a 10-point document, which I don't have with me for this presentation, but it contains a lot of useful points, many of which we all know, but it's useful to see them set out in writing, and we will be having that on our website. That's basically our activities in the security area over the last 3 days. Any questions?
Let me ask the board members, Carl?
With regard to the two-week update period, I heard some rumors in the hallway that it's frequently much, much, much longer than that, and that actually it may have been tied to an implicit statement of it'll get better if you sign a contract with us. Is there any truth to that?
I don't believe that this particular forum, let me put it this way, I'm not prepared to address contract issues. This is another ongoing situation in the CCTLD, and this is, with all due respect, Carl, not an area that I would like to speak to, the contract issues. I've heard rumors, but I'm here to give a report on what our constituency agreed to. With respect to the IANA situation, there are obviously three situations here. One is a questionable delegation or a questionable redelegation, which I can certainly see, or a stealth redelegation attempt. That may happen from time to time. We did receive a visit from Stewart and some President Stewart and some board members who shared with us some data on how long it takes to process the routine name server change. And it seems to be 7 days. Yes, some of them are 80 days or 120 days. But we're looking at a separate area here. What we're saying in our report here is that where we have a situation where IANA knows who the manager is and everyone agrees who the manager is, and in many cases IANA may know the manager face to face, we'd like to have some kind of system in place so that in the event of some catastrophe, the emergency system would operate outside of the normal administrative process, be it 7 days, 80 days, or even 24 hours. So that, again, if a CC's primary server gets taken out, we would be in a position to update the database as quickly as possible.
Just a minute, sir. Lee had his hand up.
I knew you would respond to Peter's...
Will you yield some time? Thank you.
Yeah, I have to correct an impression that was given. I know Peter didn't mean to give an impression that 80 to 120 days was the norm. That, in fact, there was one exception. A substantial portion of that was waiting for information from the CCTLD. The data that I shared with the CCTLDs and which we're going to be reporting on openly show that on the routine name server changes, the total amount of time is 30 days on the average, of which 12 days it's in ICANN's control. The remaining 18 days are either waiting for information from the CCTLD itself, or is waiting for approval from the Department of Commerce, of which the majority of that, it far and away, is waiting for information from the CCTLD. So I think what we're doing here now is beginning to, instead of speculating on rumors heard in the corridor, we're mutually working together to deal with facts and then working together to see how we can improve the situation.
Okay. Just to correct that, sir, the low end that I said was 8, not 80.
Oh, I'm sorry.
8 was the number. Yes, that is all true. Again, what we're looking for here is to decouple the security side of the equation where we would have an emergency. We want to decouple that from all the rest of the process and just say, all right, if the manager is known, we need an emergency change because of the catastrophe. We need to have some kind of method of authentication and method of reaching some human being so that the change could be effected as immediately as possible.
I think that there's a lot of agreement on that. Me is next, and then Andy.
Yes, Peter. I thought I should ask you to elaborate a little bit on the shared CCTLD backup secondary server system you have in mind, because it may not be a good idea to leave the impression that you are concentrating, secondaries, thereby creating, you know, single points of failure, defeating the purpose that you had in mind. So if you could elaborate what you had in mind, that might help.
Well, I can elaborate on some of the ideas that were presented, but of course the purpose of the working group is to come up with a formalized suggestion. So this is very much in the formative stages. Now, what Sabine presented was, for starters, country code managers know each other and they make an agreement. For example, .vi, which I'm the manager of, we have an agreement with RIPE, and we have an agreement with Korea for a secondary service, certainly geographically dispersed, those two particular locations. This is, in a sense, it's informal. It's formal between our organizations, but it is informal as to how we arrived at, the choice of choosing Korea or choosing RIPE. The idea here is, right now we have a situation where certain managers may know other managers, and they are, on that basis, having a one-off contract or agreement, whether it be a contract or not, to exchange secondary services. Sabine then enhanced a further concept where it is possible to, on the same machine, run multiple instances of bind under separate user IDs, so that a CCTLD manager would effectively control a small slice of a server that was located, housed, maintained in an area of high connectivity in a stable and secure physical environment, such as perhaps at RIPE. This concept would allow, say, up to 3 or 4 CCTLDs to utilize the services of one box to maintain their secondaries. This also allows the advantage of the CC manager being able to obtain statistics on the number of queries that that particular secondary was responding to for their CCTLD. The experience that Sabine was talking about, or at least the theory, was that not many more than 3 or 4 shared DNS services could be running under separate SUIDs on a particular box. So we're looking at ways of expanding this concept, and the servers themselves would be geographically dispersed, and they would also be located clearly at points of high connectivity, network access points where major tier one providers are peering with their traffic and so forth, so that they would be close by IP hop count, hopefully, to the users that they would be servicing. But again, this is in the formative stages. The intent is to make it geographically dispersed, to make it dispersed in such a way that it is at high bandwidth, high network access availability points, and to formalize the arrangement somewhat so that all of the CC managers can take advantage of the service.
Okay, Andy?
I'm satisfied of what I heard of you about your security measures, but security is always the security of the weakest point. So if I get back a few minutes and hearing that Diana might be the problem with the approval of the DNC when you need that urgent change, would you see let's say a problem there at the IANA, not at your levels, but at the IANA, if you need to make such an immediate change?
Well, we do not have, speaking for the CCTLD organization, we do not have a formal policy or mechanism in place. That is why we've established this working group to interface with IANA. We have the existing situation where a certain amount of time is consumed in entering a name server change request. We acknowledge and we appreciate, as a group, the fact that President Stewart and IANA are not only working to reduce the amount of time, and again, I'm speaking about the amount of time it takes in a clear-cut situation where the manager is known and, you know, everybody knows who everybody is and it's not a redelegation question or it's not an email coming from someone who's not the technical contact or the administrative contact. So there is definitely an improvement going on with the amount of time that this sort of normal administrative change takes to get affected. And we are now receiving data, starting with some data that Stewart supplied us with, as to how long it takes to do these. Not necessarily with the exact two-letter code, but at least a representative sampling of how long it takes to affect these changes. Now, I might add, along the same matter, we did vote a resolution in the CC that from this moment forward, or at least as soon as the Secretariat gets this information out, when a CC manager requests a change, a normal administrative change, from IANA to the database, that it will be logged at the Secretariat and that we will track and post on the CCTLD website, which is www.tld.org, the time the request was lodged and the time it took to process that request. We feel that this will help us all become better informed. But again, all of those issues aside, we have no mechanism in place for an immediate security-related, catastrophe-related situation. If in my own situation, the VI name servers were affected by some kind of catastrophe, and by the way, they happen to be at BC Telephone in Vancouver, and it's, you know, who knows? BC Telephone could blow up or something like that. I'm sure a lot of people would be without phone service. But we would need to some mechanism to be able to contact, let's say it happens to be Friday night, it was midnight or something like that. I need some kind of mechanism with a phone or a pager and a mechanism to authenticate the request for change. And we also need to consider the fact that email may not be available under those situations. So we have to have a way that's not email, that may not necessarily be a fax, a prearranged method of authentication, in a way that we can ensure, right up through the Department of Commerce, the change to that record as quickly as possible if there is some kind of catastrophe.
Okay, thank you. So you're just confirming we have a problem here.
Yes, I mean, we do have an issue, and we're going to try to deal with that. I was going to ask one other question about secondary backups. Does it make any sense to go to ask for commercial secondary services as opposed to trying to do a buddy system? You know, I'm just beginning to think that there might be a business for
someone to do. Well, it depends on what you consider commercial. I certainly consider the facilities that Wright maintains of commercial grade.
No, I wasn't trying to impugn anything here. I was just thinking, is there a business for someone who runs a bunch of data centers to bring up servers which are intended to be to serve as secondaries for anyone who needs it?
Well, there certainly could be. I believe there are issues of control, and as some CCTLD managers rent rack space in commercial facilities where there are servers which are under the direct control with full super user access of that CC manager, and they rely on those commercial facilities to maintain the physical box and to change the box or the a part in the box if something should fail, but the CC is maintaining full control over that system. But again, I think what we're approaching here is the concept of robust commercial-grade facilities that are under the control or management of other CCs. For instance, Singapore, Korea. I mean, we're talking about massive, case-hardened, barbed wire, guard dogs, you know, the whole thing.
I wasn't trying to debate that as much as I'm trying to open up the range of places that might be usefully engaged in order to...
The range is certainly large, and again, the commercial facilities that are used with the control of the box being in. It's issues of control and security of the data, mm-hmm. basically. Most CCs are less likely to outsource to a commercial facility. Some CCs, if they are outsourcing, they're controlling the box, they're controlling the data, but there's ultimately issues of who can get their hands on that data,
sure.
even if it's only zone files.
Okay.
Someone else want to recognize questions from the floor? I don't feel that's my role, or is that my role?
If there are some specifics, we'll pick them up at the open mic time. Okay, is there anything else from the board? Thank you very much, Peter.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Peter. I'm not going to make a statement on behalf of the remaining DNSO constituencies, that is the business constituency, the intellectual property constituency, and the internet service providers constituency. We had a joint meeting yesterday discussing the issues of this series of meetings, and came up with a statement which I shall read to you now. The BCIP and ISP constituencies applaud the initiative to discuss security issues due to their relevance to the stability of the internet, and recognize the importance of this to the core mission of ICANN. While the user's constituencies may spread best practice on those security issues within the competence of the user and their relationship with suppliers, the constituencies remain concerned about those issues outside of the control of users, and so call on the ICANN board and the relevant supporting organizations to investigate a role for either taking responsibility for DNS security issues or seeing where ICANN can be influential to improve DNS security by cooperation with other bodies. In particular, we also discussed a number of issues, and this is at the moment simply that it's not a prioritized list or proposed action plan. But amongst those issues that can be considered and prioritized include the establishment of new policies, revisiting existing contractual requirements with regard to the root server, revisiting existing contractual requirements for Redis 2s and Redis Stars, the insertion of specific security provisions in new Redis 3 and Redis Star contracts, the enforcement of security-relevant contractual provisions such as Whois, establishing certainty where there is currently mission-critical services being supplied on a voluntary or non-contractual basis, investigating the establishment of an incentive standard scheme leading to certification, and thus providing a, excuse me, a commercial incentive to security, establishing guidelines for security issues alerted to ICANN to ensure alerts are directed to the right place, and establishing guidelines for the collection and release of security-relevant data. The constituencies look forward to working with the board and support organizations on these issues and on their prioritization.
Thank you very much, Phil. That's a very interesting list. Are there any questions for Phil on the joint report? Apparently not. Thank you very much.
Okay, that concludes the reports from the DNSO. Thank you, Chairman.
At this point, if Paul Toomey is in the room, I would like to call upon him to make a report from the GAC.
Thank you, Vincent. Can I say thank you to the board and to the community for convening this meeting. The governments and public authorities that participate within the Governmental Advisory Committee would like to congratulate ICANN on convening this meeting and focusing on these issues. As you can appreciate, security, we somewhat joked in our meeting that our resolution would say security is important. Security is an important thing, obviously to governments. And I suppose to go further on that, there's a recognition, I think, amongst the members of the GAC that we know where the buck stops when things go wrong. The technical things may go wrong, but we know that the governments get blamed by their communities to solve it. So there's a sense of mutual accountability here, I think, from our perspective. I wanted to give a report about the sort of issues that we thought were important, and I'm going to put them in terms of the sort of more in terms of the things that we thought were important, the things we worried about, rather than necessarily giving new recommendations. I've also asked Alan Wong from the Hong Kong government and also Stefano Trumpi, who sits for Italy in the GAC. Many of you know Stefano from his many hats. Because I wanted to give a bit of a flavour, the three of us speaking, of the sorts of issues, and also purposely so that it's not seen as if there's one single government advisory committee line, because multi-jurisdictional concerns are important to us. So trying to give a bit of a flavour of the things that people thought were important. But if I could say it at the some sort of top level, the sorts of things that we took away after the several days of meetings and from our experience were sort of things being picked up, I think, a lot by a lot of the other constituencies this morning. For instance, the need really for proper risk analysis. What is actually the nature of the risk being faced? A need for testing of the weak points. And for a need for having best practice more consistently applied. Accountability and compliance was just the words that kept coming out of our discussions. What is actually the risk we're facing? Who's accountable for actually addressing that? What are the accountabilities of the different parts of the operating of the network? And how do you ensure consistency around best practice? And certainly a need for greater flow of information to users and to governments around performance, within a context, obviously, of some sort of confidentiality regime. If there's a denial of service attack on a CCTLD, you don't necessarily want to tell the entire community there's been a denial of service attack. But it is important that the issues around that are actually shared with others who can contribute to better practice and who can also learn the lessons of what was done in response to that denial of service attack. So there was very much a focus both on the root service, the TLDs, and then I suppose down to the CCTLD operations, which you would expect. And there was a concern around, to be truthful, a concern around complacency, and there was a concern around variability of standards. Also, let me be my usual outrageous, rude self. There was a bit of, we felt a little bit in the last several days, a trust me, I'm an engineer attitude a little bit on occasions, which for those of us who have had to actually manage proprietary IT systems within government, left us a little uncomfortable because we've had that line before from people. So there was a concern about...
doesn't everyone, if you can't trust your engineer, who the hell can you trust?
The entire about to say, I'm from government, I don't trust nobody.
including yourself, yes, of course.
I don't trust myself. But there was, I think, this issue of consistency of performance. And also, the other thing I think we had some concerns about was the system, as the network as a whole, the internet as a whole, seems to perform quite well through the September 11 experience. However, one of my personal concerns was the problem of averaging of averages, in that the data being collected was the network as a whole. In the risk analysis, we would like to see much more concentration on specific parts, and narrowing down both in the geographies and the in specific geographies and in specific interlinkages between particularly the network and the physical infrastructure. And I'd like to particularly thank the, I think it was the .com manager from South Africa for his presentation, because that was an interesting example of how when you actually came down to some detailed part of the network, it didn't work well at all. And so in the sense that there was a failure much higher than the average had shown for the network, not that the South African manager hadn't done a good job, but that, you know, a reliance on telehouse for one landing, etc. So we just thought there was a real issue there about not being too smug about how the network as a whole had gone, and a need really to analyse that in the smaller parts of the network how well it would perform was quite important. I wonder if I can ask some of my colleagues, perhaps Alan, to talk about some of the issues he thought were important.
Thank you, Paul. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. As governments, we tend to see things a little differently from service providers and operators. Well, we issue licenses to ISPs. We build the national information infrastructure. We help, or we actually encourage our people to go on the net, e-business, e-government. So we have to ensure that these networks are really, you know, 24/7/365, always available and resilient. Now, over the past few days, we have discussed the security aspects of the DNS system, which is really the backbone of the whole internet system. We are concerned about the security of the root servers. That is really the most important, but apparently the weakest link in the value chain. Of course, we trust that the gTLD servers operators in particular, they are good engineers and they are very self-aware, but we are not sure whether they would be equally accountable and responsible to the public or the world population at large. But anyway, we are concerned respectively for accounting to our people that, well, take it for granted that the whole system will work and trust us. But we have to trust somebody, and we hope that we can trust the engineers as they expect us to do so. Now, the international the internet users are rising exponentially, especially in the Asia-Pacific region. China, I understand that every year 10 million people add onto the internet community. And we are spending billions and billions of dollars on our internet services. So it's reasonable for us to expect good services. Now, why I say that the root servers are, or we believe the root servers are the weakest link in the hierarchy of registries in the whole DNS system. It's the least transparent of all in terms of its operations. And of the 13 root servers in the world, 11 are located in the United States. And we are not sure whether the time has come for a genuine risk assessment of the fact that there's a high concentration of root servers in one country, whether some of these should be located outside the United States. I'm aware that there's one in Japan and there's one in the United Kingdom, but we would suggest that someone, maybe I can, to look at this issue from a holistic manner, from a global security manner. And it can be a simpler than a change of ownership, say location of some of the servers outside the United States. Maybe some reference to the population of internet users in the world, or the volume of internet traffic. And I think the present system has outlived its historical mission in the old ARPANET days. Now the internet is used not just by scientists and engineers, but by the whole world, and billions of people are going to use it, depend on it in the workplace and increasingly in the family, at home as well. So if the root server system security is in doubt, or even it ceases to work effectively for a short period, all the operations downstream would be adversely affected. Of course, we are also aware that there are caching and scrolling and there are secondary servers, but we can't rely on this for too long. All we want is to see a realistic assessment and analysis of the risk involved. We know that we are advisors in this role, in this organization, but we believe that it's in the interest of the service providers, in the interest of ICANN, to look at the whole question of risk server security in a holistic manner. Now, one way as an interim measure is to promote the transparency of operation of the root servers, or to make them accountable, or relatively more accountable than before, to the internet community through ICANN or through the global network of the gTLD registries and registrars. And it is also for consideration whether third-party security audits should be conducted in addition to the internal audits done by the root server operators. But these are suggestions or thoughts which are not meant to be really kind of a formal recommendation from the DAC, but I believe it will be in the our mutual interest for government, for the business community, for ICANN to think about this. Finally, I'm glad to hear that the GTLD RLC, one of the task force will look at the security of the registry and to draft a set of best practices, and we look forward to seeing more of the work of this committee. And I think I can stop here, and I leave my colleague from Italy to report on other aspects of our work. Thank you.
Good morning. Let me start from the comments of our chairman, Paul Tumi, who basically said no communique. We are studying. We understand that the problem is rather complex, and not only from the technical point of view. And why the government? And I bring the experience from Italy, for example, where the government is concerned about the security of the internet, because the internet is considered a critical infrastructure. So it is unavoidable, I think, that the government will enter into considering the problems of security and then interacting with the operators in the interest of the community. I report very briefly the result of a meeting that we had yesterday, a round table discussing the managerial aspects of the security of the internet. And the interest of this round table is that we had opinions from the operators, from many of the constituencies that already have spoken this morning, opinions of users, and opinions of representatives of the government. So the three sides had the chance to exchange views. So let me exaggerate a little bit the positions in order to understand how we can operate. The tendency of the operators is to say, look, nothing very severe happened after 11th of September. We already were working on security, and we keep working. Don't disturb us, we are working for you, and the security will improve. So then, on the user side, someone said, so if the network is robust enough, and you are promising to us that the security will improve, why we are here? Why? It's not necessary to have this 3 years conference on security simply to listen that everything is almost okay. So, but of course, in the discussion, in the interaction that we generated, I mean, representatives of the government with the operators and the users, there was a profitable discussion about the role of ICANN and understanding which side of the security ICANN properly conduct, take care of. And while in the governments, in the countries, the aspects of security are much more, because you have the cybercrime, you have to pursue the terrorism or any kind of other activities. Then we agreed on the fact that the most appreciated tool for improving the security in the internet is to produce this best practices on various aspects, as we learned this morning. But then the question was, what about if some of the operators is not following adequately the best practices? So who will enforce these best practices? So, and here, of course, the discussion was also useful, and we made some distinctions because the root service system has sort of more binding best practices, and perhaps in the future there will be also contracts in place. Then the general top-level domain, the ICANN has a role of policy-making body, while this role is much weaker for the country codes, because the country codes are run in the countries with the sovereignty by the countries. So the picture is quite complicated, but the point that we recognize is that we need to improve the security chain, to improve the quality of security in the network, and we have to work with flexibility, all the parties that I was mentioning. And as Paul Toomey said, just for the governments to understand, we need to see more risk analysis, more analysis of the crucial points in the infrastructure, procedure for disaster recovery, and so on. So, in conclusion, there is the need of a sensitization, an effort for letting more and more people to understand the complexity of the problem, and so at the end, the conclusion was that this was the real sense and the usefulness of this meeting. Thank you.
Thanks, Stefano. Just to conclude, I want to make it quite clear, one of the ways we're doing this morning is this is not a communique. And this is not a formal GAC position. Nor, for truth, I think, is it a formal position of any of the governments or public authorities. We do have them, but I don't think it's useful for us to stand here and say the governments think the following 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, partly because I think outside this room that would be misinterpreted. So we're not standing here. I'm happy to talk one-on-one about the sorts of specific things we would certainly have interest, and they would vary government by government. But because of that, I didn't think it was appropriate for us to stand up and say governments think the following 10 things have to happen, because it would just have a distorting effect upon what we actually think is much more an engagement with the community. I want to make quite clear that we had quite a discussion about the root service system, and Alan sort of raised some of the broad accountability questions, but there was no sense of lack of confidence in the security of the roots of the system or the operation. I don't want to give a wrong impression there. There were questions that emerged, though, around just simply transparency, analysis of risk and security. If this was an internal system and it was a supplier to me, an internal system, what would I want as the customer? It was more sort of customer-related type questions, if you like, so I don't want to give misinterpretation there about some of that feedback. On the CCTLD, similarly, one of the questions that Stefano has just, I think, pointed to is we're raising the question of what's the risk we're trying to manage against, and what's the analysis of that risk, which we think is really important, and to be truthful, which we think is still lacking. Because in some risks, I think there's an issue of cooperative responsibility. And in some other risks, it's actually down to an individual operator. So I can imagine in some circumstances it's quite appropriate for a CCTLD operator to say, look, that's my business, or it's my business and that of my jurisdiction. But there are other risks where I think the answer is probably no, it's not. It's actually a joint responsibility, and we need to share that and be accountable for it. And drawing that line is going to be difficult, but I do think it's very important. There was a fair degree of alarm in the GAC around issues, for instance, about sufficient multi-homing by CCTLDs, sufficient variety of name server hosting. which was being addressed before earlier this morning, concerns that some servers may have too many CC zone files sitting on individual servers, and what sort of you know, points of weakness does that develop? That sort of thing, I think there needs to be a discussion about where is their joint responsibility and where is their individual responsibility. And I thought there was, in that sense, the general feeling of the GAC was that the GAC was not standing on national sovereignty to the nth degree and saying, no, all of this stuff sits within governments, go away, or our jurisdictions, go away. There was definitely a sense that this is one of the reasons we support ICANN. One of the reasons we come here and support ICANN is we see this as an instrument to help try to find that line and help implement that sense of where should there be joint responsibility. So we didn't give you any solutions or recommendations, just a whole lot of problems.
But the problems are already there. You didn't give them to us. They've simply been inherited, but we appreciate your highlighting some of them. Are there any questions for any of the presenters from the GAC on behalf of the board? I have a couple of comments, if I could, Paul. One of them is that the notion that the root server is a weak link may actually not be a very accurate presumption or even the right impression to take away. In a moment, I'm going to ask that we review the results of John Clemson's session, technical session. And Andrew, I'm going to ask you to present some of the conclusions that came from that. But what I wanted to say is that during that session, for the first time, I had a chance to listen to the root server operators describe some of their security backup procedures, and actually I came away quite impressed with the strength of the system. Second, with regard to the distribution of root servers, Jim Marai, who will be shortly presenting the Root Server Advisory Committee report, has been engaged in an analysis precisely in figuring out where the traffic flows are and where it would be advantageous to have root service. But I do want to remind you that there are some real constraints on how quickly we can move to make any changes because of the fixation of IP address binding to the particular root servers that are currently in operation. So this is a non-trivial exercise. It's not just a question of saying, well, let's pick this up and put it someplace else in the net. But those two things immediately came to mind as I listened to the report. What is important, though, Paul, is something that you said, and I'd like to underscore it. There has never been a case when the Internet has not relied on the cooperation of everyone. The entire system works only because people cooperate, institutions cooperate. And that's true all the way out to the edges of the net, to the smallest domain name server at some company that has 256 names in its system. Every single one of those systems has to be backed up by somebody, and that's all part of the cooperative nature of the Internet. So thank you very much, Paul, for your report. I'm going to first call on, you wanted to make a comment?
The one comment that that I did want to pass along was while I appreciate that the comments that were sort of characterizing the operator's position and the other's position were painted into archetypes to make a point, I think it's important for me to express to GAC and to government interests in general that two points. One, the big concern as an operator in terms of things like best practices and who enforces those standards, the big concern is that there is a, to the extent there is enforcement or monitoring, that it's done by a single body. My greatest fear as an operator is that I have 240 sets of standards that I must attend to. And obviously, what falls out of that is it's very difficult for that to be dealt with at a national level. The second point that I want to express is that the who monitors it question, especially as it relates to DNS and the domain name industry, is that the market itself does an absolutely marvelous job of enforcement. If somebody who is a participant as an operator in the domain name industry holds themselves to a lower standard than is acceptable, A, it becomes known and public very quickly. B, customers are able to make their own choices and leave. So there is implicitly significant monitoring that goes on. Thanks very much.
Okay, I mean, can I just respond to that? I agree in many respects what you're saying, and I suppose what I want to make clear what the governments are saying is two things. On the issues you raised, Vint, it's more about transparency. I mean, when you say that it was the first time you actually heard what all the root server operators do, that worries me. Okay, that's not transparent.
Okay.
So it's not so much that they weren't secure, it's this transparency, and that's what I think Alan's saying, it's an accountability issue. You know, if we now have 500 million people and billions of dollars relying on this network, then you know there's a necessity for some accountability and transparency.
Mm-hmm.
On the question of one set of standards, I couldn't agree more, and I didn't hear anything from the government saying they want to impose standards. What I did hear in the room was not any consistency about what standards and who applies it. And so our question really is, putting it back to you, I agree with you. Yes, we want one standard. Yes, we want the standard raised. And you guys have got to figure that out. But we won't be happy if your response is, we're not going to answer that question, or this is too hard, or we'll leave it to next year. Because if things go wrong, it's our ass that's on the line, not yours.
Well, it's a
well, agree. I
both
agree.
Of our asses.
Yeah,
exactly.
On the line.
Yes, this is another illustration. This is another illustration of the shared anatomy that we all have. Let's see. I feel like I'm dangling a bit here. I think it's time now to go on to the Root Server Advisory Committee report, Jim.
Yeah, I think we already had a very nice panel on the first day of this meeting about the security and stability of the name server system by some of the server operators, and then Paul just mentioned about the transparency of the name server system, but probably the panel did a very everybody share the status of the how the root server system, this security and stability have been made and the challenge. But anyway, so this is basically the summary and the repeat of the most of the things that have been discussed on the panel. But go ahead. Oh no, I can do that. So which one is this? All right. So basically, the root server system is this is the characteristic of the DNS of the DNS system or the distributed system, and the certain root name server system has a very good manner of diversity and the distribution in many senses. So if you look at the organization, the type of organization are different, and then as you look at location. And of course, a different set of people. So this is a distribution. And I already mentioned by the GAC person about the only three is out of the United States. And then also probably someone raised the question about the limitation of the 13. And the limitation of the 13 with name server actually comes from the protocol design. Original protocol design of the DNS, and then this has been discussed in a kind of a protocol basis, and then it would be we are expecting at some point from the protocol community it could be changed, and then the certain limitation would be gone, but at this point we're going to use this limitation, accept this limitation, and then still. There is a room for thinking about location of things, and that has been discussed, as I repeatedly reporting here about, you know, from an engineering point of view, which location and which new location could be the best from an engineering and the traffic analysis point of view, and then that kind of work going on. Anyway, so the hardware is access to the machine is controlled by the physical access, you know, each of the 13. Again, the way, actual way of protecting the physical machines are varied by each of the several operators, but that variation is also considered very important. And so environment is the protection against the power and other things are well discussed among the group and then independently taken care of by each of the operators' responsibility. And of course the connection, the redundant connections in the various layers are achieved on each of the case. And then the backup, mentioned about the backup is, you know, each root name server have backup copies and the redundant hardware and the hot spare, live spare is considered in various ways. And again, this is relating to transparency, but you know, where it is located and what kind of a spare or you know, physical location, you know, transparency on that detailed information sometimes causing the another risk on protecting the system. So it's a kind of a matter of the level, but anyway, so those are the things. And the software have, of course, a recent patched version and the carefully discussed, and then if something happened, actually the information, tremendous amount of the information circulating around the operators using the very secure communication channels. And so the operators are using the very secure way of communication in various ways again, and the contact information are very updated and managed in a very, very good manner. And the personnel also are being administrated by the entire group on using my level personal schemes. And the zone file was reported by Mark Cosper at the panel, but also taking the very, very strong attention in terms of the authentication and so and the integrity for the defined procedure of putting the new, deleting, adding, modifying the zone file. And then also the distribution, there is a very strong care has been taken for the authentication things and the backup things. This is on the web of these slides. And this is the Lehman slide actually. And now our operators, again, the diversity and various meanings, different personalities, different organizations, different type of organization, as I showed in the first slide. And a strong social network and encrypted communication channel, secure communication channel. And we have a technical guideline fairly openly discussed in the ITF, and then the technical guidelines are defined in the ITF. So, the ICANN's role is basically the contractual and administrative work is I can go to improve the security and the stability of the root name server system. So the transition plan from of the regarding the distribution server through the IANA roles things and the MOU process is currently going on, and this is going to be a kind of creating the contractualization between the ICANN and the root server operators. And also, some discussion has been made about the IANA function itself and the backup of that function. Those are the ICANN's role rather than the root server operator's role. And lastly, probably the I think the current root server system has been taken care of by tremendous efforts, amount of efforts made by the engineers and operators. So I say trust engineers for hacking community. That's it.
Already I see a reaction. Let me get board reaction first. Excuse me. Carl? You may have some questions to answer.
Yeah. The first question is, what's the current status of the studies to determine more optimal placement of the root servers, like the work that was being done at CADA?
The older forward, I think. Was it CADA report?
Yeah, what's happening with like the CADA research on trying to figure out, yeah, with regard to the more optimal placement of the root servers?
CADA work on the...
Okay. 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 The relation was kind of temporary, and then we have asked CADA to generate a report on various measurement results, and then we decided to continue the effort, and we are in the process of the formally on a contractual basis and a formal relation for continuing the support on decision making, generating the output for us from CADA.
When are we likely to see that output, June? When would that report be available?
When
would that report be available?
The report to the board.
Mm-hmm.
Using that information,
yes,
about the criteria of we are expecting by the I think you know February March time frame. So seems like that was the problem. I think that was the move, and that is the original problem. February March time frame was creating the entire report about including. That issue.
Andy.
I have a question which is a little bit an administrative question, because I do trust in engineers and operators, but not so much in the other players in this field. We have an issue around the Afghanistan CCTLD, which is the registry is run by a British company called NetMains. That registry has been under a denial of service attack after the 11th of September accident, or excuse me, story, or whatever we call it, terrorist attack. NetMains asked for a redelegation to put the registry in the in another IP range to be able to handle their other customers' business computers and registries, and that redelegation went from Myanmar to the DOC at mid of October and has not been responded yet. I don't know if Ms. Karen Rose of DOC is here. But once more saying that security is the security of the weakest point, what do we do if IANA / DOC is the weakest point of this? We don't have a technical problem on the detailed meaning of the word. We have a problem of this administrative way here. I mean, whatever reason DOC might have to not confirm this redelegation, which is not a change of policy, which is not a change of administrators, just a simple change of an IP number within a made agreement.
Okay, probably that's basically the IANA's role, on the ICANN's role, rather than the root name server system's stability and security issues, so, obviously. And yeah, I think that including item one and the new roles being defined by IANA procedures. So simply, I was talking about the security and stability of the root name server system, which is as I defined when we have a root zone file, and then how we're going to process the root zone file to be available to the entire global internet.
Yes, let's play. for one second a game in mind. Let's say I run a disability knowledge service check on several registries, including their backup facilities. And the answer to that is to set more performance service in other locations with other IP limits, and we need to change that in the real-time file. And the DSC doesn't answer our redelegation requests because maybe the DoD is affecting these denial of service attacks, or there's other kind of reasons like the DSC doesn't exist anymore to answer that request. I mean,
This is an example.
Hypothetical.
This is a good example.
This is an issue for me.
Yeah, and it should be an issue for everyone. This is an example of one of the scenarios we could call a threat scenario. Sorry?
No.
I'm sorry. This is an example of a threat scenario that we should be concerned about. It isn't Jim's responsibility to answer that particular one, but it is our collective responsibility to make sure there are procedures in place to deal with that problem. I'd like to suggest that we actually take that up as part of our discussion, which we will get into shortly. So please hang on to that. Jim, I have one other specific question. It has been rumored that one of the root servers, the one that is operated by PSINet, might be in some jeopardy because PSINet is in bankruptcy. Do we know anything about that?
Yes, but probably should be answered by Luis. Where's Luis? Oh, I see.
I apologize. I was distracted when the question was asked.
Would you like me to re-ask the question? The issue that I was concerned about is that one of the root servers is operated by PSINet, and the PSINet is in bankruptcy right now. Is there any risk right now to the operation of that root server?
Okay, I'm going to answer the technical part. Okay, the root server operators for running the feed, which is the institution named PSI. Okay. We have checked with the status of the technical ability and the operational ability of that particular main server, and that server is running quite well regarding the performance and the stability comparing as other root server systems. That is from a technical and operational point of view. And from
we have been in contact with PSINet and have received assurances at this point that seem to make it inappropriate to make a change. One of the guiding principles that the Internet Architecture Board has given about the root server system and the root zone maintenance in particular is to use, in their terms, extreme caution in making changes. And the change of an IP address of a root server is an extremely serious change.
Yeah, I wasn't suggesting we should change anything. I wanted to know what the status is. Thank you. Let's see. Is there anyone else on the board that has an issue? Milton, I'll get to you in a moment. Carl?
Yeah, well, Milton, could you go first?
Would you like that? All right. Milton?
Listening to the sessions, it seemed like a lot of security and stability issues were raised by the persistence of the HIMPS file in distributed throughout name servers throughout the world. Was there any discussion of, first of all, the diversification of the software used rather than having kind of a monopoly of bind? Is that a security issue that something can be done about? And secondly, can there be some kind of standard which calls for separating the hints from the software, from being hardwired into the software and having it received in some other fashion so that it's not you don't have this legacy problem?
Okay, as you might know, the HIMPS file is a pretty fixed file to be used for initializing the set of the routine service, and that then there could be a you know there and there has been a discussion about how the hints file could be more secure, or when the change would be happening on the hints file, then you know there could be a technical solution for that thing. But actually, at this point, the very large deployment of the hints file and the use of the hints file and the change on that part is pretty hard, and the impact to the stability and security on the root server system is not considered a very urgent item, I think. So you want to add something, Daniel?
Yeah, well,
I'm sorry, excuse me, before we do that, Carl had his hand. I'm sorry?
They should probably follow the thread.
Daniel.
Okay, well, I was going to say two things to the previous question. One is, yes, the monolithic or the single software base has been a matter of discussion, and that has been expressed in the panel.
Yes.
And it is actually being engineered. The second is, the hints file is not a monolithic part of the software. It's just a basic expression of this DNS design. So you have a monolithic route. You have a route where you have to start and you have to be told where it is. And that is something you have to statically distribute. And if you want to change that, you have to change basically the whole protocol. So you have to go back to the IETF. Any suggestions that you would want to distribute to make this more dynamic have two problems: A, the deployment problem, which you can't solve, and B, the security problem of it in itself.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, one more comment.
Yeah, Alan Wong, Hong Kong government. Well, I also like to trust engineers and operators. In my organization, 1,500 engineers, system analysts, and programmers. I also tell the 180,000 people in 80 departments, which my department serve, trust engineers, trust us. Today, we are talking to peers, you know, so we understand the issues. I would also like to be able to say always, if hands on heart, trust engineers. When I say that the root server system is the weakest link, I think I must qualify to say the potentially weakest link in the whole hierarchy of things for two reasons. First, is in an enforcement and contractual perspective. Now, you look at the operators, the registrars, registries downstream, they are all under contractual arrangements, and they can claim in course of law for losses. But now, an MOU is being discussed, that's fine, and we welcome this development. But the 13 root servers, basically, they operate on a voluntary basis. This is important. No one can file a claim against them if there are any losses because of a breakdown in the system, say for a week. So we see this as a potentially weak link. And I am gratified to see that ICANN is taking this up with the MOU and all that. This is a formalization of an arrangement which developed 30 years ago. And we appreciate it. I do not mean to be provocative, neither do I want to criticize. On the contrary, the DNS system so far has done a marvelous job. It's more reliable than my own system. That's true. I have never had any problem with the root system, but my website was attacked by the cold red worm and sometimes power shortages and all that. But I have to point out the future when more and more people join the internet community, when they depend their livelihood, their work and play is all on the net, right? And we are glad to see that. So the other point is about, you look at a map, there's a high concentration of the root servers on the east coast of this country. We are grateful for the country for hosting all these systems, but everyone knows that this is a potentially risky area. And well, I see the CNN every day, and you see that from now on, the war is still going on. So my point is whether some kind of rethinking about the location I'm not suggesting, you know, I'm a practical man, you know, a change of ownership or all that, or a political distribution of the reserves. But location of some of the, say, disaster backup centers, disaster recovery centers elsewhere. I think you can look at the map. There's almost a blank except for Japan on the right-hand side. But you look at where are the growth areas. So I think it's important that these are the 2 points. I will stop here.
Yeah.
This is really the weakest, potentially weakest point that I want to clarify.
Yeah,
I repeat, I'm not criticizing the premises.
No, this is a reasonable criticism. The problem is that technically it's not so simple for us to redistribute these things because right now you are bound to particular IP addresses. And so there's work to be done there, and there's work to be done to support more than 13 of them. It's very clear from yesterday's session that we would like to have that capability, and it's going to take some effort to get there. So this is not just a policy decision, this is some serious engineering, and I know you appreciate that. Carl?
Well, I won't mention the word anycast, but there are parts of DNS which I think are fatter and softer targets than the roots, and I won't say what they are, but my big concern is distributed denial of service attacks. And I've seen various large operators who simply live with traffic loads, you know, 50 megabits, 500 megabits, just continuously because they can't shut them down. And it seems to me that we have to start reaching out into the actual structure of the net to deal with that and not just look at the servers, the root servers themselves. And I'm wondering what we're doing to actually start talking to the carriers about being able to put in mechanisms to backtrack the sources of DDoS attacks or to diminish their intensity.
Okay, basically, root server system is the same as the other services on the internet, and same as the other important services of the internet. And then, so the DDoS attack comes from the existing routing technology. And so probably the risk is exactly the same as the other services on a root server system. But the root server system is a certain distributed system, and you know other services, it's a more stable using the older certain root name service system in a kind of a distributed manner. So that is their advantage, and also the community to serve. As I said, the diversity, and then well communicated when something happened, and then a 24-hour basis of the operation around the world would be very helpful in terms of when detecting that kind of attack, and then we can do the various action in a prompt way. So other than that, from technological point of view, the DDoS attack, the duration is the same as the other services.
Yeah, let me follow up on that. Because the root servers are pretty well-known addresses, I mean, if a virus were to go out, it could be extremely effective because we couldn't move the servers. And if we did physically move them, the disease would follow. And there's always been on these DDoS attacks the inhospitality of ISPs to help trace back to the sources. It becomes exceedingly difficult. And I'm not sure that we'd always get, you know, clueful ISPs that are willing to help us trace back to the sources. And that seems to me a serious problem here, not just for us, but it seems to be exacerbated in our situation.
Yeah, that's basically true. And the entire group is discussing, including the ITF and the other, engineering forum is discussing about that, and then probably the root server system certainly are taking any advices and to improve the future change in the system.
Okay, let me suggest that we do the following. We have about 2 hours now into this session. The break would probably be welcome. So this is what I propose to do. First, we take a 15-minute break. Then we will return. I have one presentation I'd like to have from Andrew to quickly summarize, not right now, Andrew, later, to summarize the results of the technical session that John Clemson organized. Then I'd like to go into open microphone period for 45 minutes, perhaps as much as an hour. then I'd like to formally convene a board meeting to discuss the results of the security talks for the last 3 days. Just one other request. It would be helpful if those of you who are carrying cell phones in the room, if you would please turn them off so that they don't distract. So let's take a break now for 15 minutes. We'll reconvene shortly.
15 minutes or not?
man, I can't fucking believe this. The same shit happened to the same guy twice.
Hey, you, sweetie, you look the kind of pretty with a girl like you doing in the drug city. Yeah, I think I like how that sounds. What you say we get to know each other better? I don't know, tell me, is it so? Do you get a kick out of telling brothers no? What your man got to do with me? I'm not trying to hear that, see? I'm not a dumb baby, so don't play me like a clown. Now you're talking, baby, got the ticket. Take it down and do whatever I got to do. I'll tell you now, I got eyes for you.
You got eyes, but
they not
for me.
You know what's the problem? The youngest of learning. I'm Big Daddy Long soaking your man Pee Wee Herman.
I got a question to ask the truth. Are you a shepherd? Because you keep feeding me.
You know what they say about those who sweat themselves. You might find yourself by yourself. I'm not waiting because I'm no waiter. So when I blow up, don't try to think it for me later. I wouldn't see a good thing, they don't let it pass.
Well, that's okay, you see, that this man, cause for me, I already got a man.
What's your man got to do with me?
I got a man.
I'm not trying to hear that, see?
I got a man.
What's your man got to do with me?
I got a man.
I'm not trying to hear that. What am I, some private inmate that just came home from jail waiting you for a date? I don't want no beef, I just want to get together.
Now, you talking? Whatever.
We can't have nothing.
It all depends.
Well, if we can't be lovers, then we can't be friends.
Well, hey, I
guess it's well, hey, I think you're puffing. Well, I can get a ragamuffin. You better catch a flash back of number. I'm not crabbing it. You know my style, but I'm not having it.
Well, look, I
treat you good.
My man treats me better.
I talk sweet on the phone.
My man makes love matters.
I'll tell you that I want you and tell you that I care.
My man says the same, except he's
sincere. Well, I'm clean cutting down, but that's what I'm about.
My man bought me things and he takes me out.
Well, you can keep it, man, because I don't go that route.
Well, you know your uncle respects me.
There's a lot of girls out there who won't say no.
Your uncle really is a DJ Money.
Boom, that in my pocket's getting fatter. I want to turn you on and excite you. Let me know the spot on your body and I'll bite you. So when your man don't hit you like it used to, I kick in like a turbo booster. You want loving, you don't have to ask when. Your man's a headache, I'll be your aspirin. All confusion, you know, I'll solve him.
I got a man.
You got a what? How long you had that problem? What's your man got to do with me?
I got a man.
I'm not trying to hit up, see?
I got a man.
What's your man got to do with me?
I got a man.
I'm not trying to hear that.
I got a man.
Hey, yo, baby, put up a down, don't forget to be adamant. I told you I treat you right. Come on, I ain't no few shit right. Come on, man. Oh, we back on that again. I'm not trying to hear that, see?
I got a man.
But your man ain't.
Being without you has turned out to be so inconvenient. And wishing I was with you just seems to use up all my time. You've been gone so long that it's hard to recall just how the dream went. And all but this broken heart in me, I guess is doing fine. Is it still over? Are we still through? Since my phone still ain't ringing, I assume it still ain't you. I've had mine to take time to find somebody new. But I'm not too sure that I'm still over you.
That lie that I tried to slip by you was told with good intentions. It was just another way to say I love you and protect you from the truth. And a half a pound of cure is surely worth a half an ounce of pure prevention. And trying to explain while I'm insane is the hardest thing I've ever tried to do. Is it still over? Are we still through? Since my phone still ain't ringing, I assume it still ain't you. But I've had the mind to take the time to find somebody new. But I'm not too sure that I'm still over you. Still through. Since my phone still ain't ringing, I assume it still ain't you. I've had the mind to take the time to find somebody new. But I'm not too sure that I'm still over you. If I repeat myself, it's cause I've nothing else to do. And I'm not too sure that I'm still over you. I'm not too sure that I'm still over you.
Pleasure, pleasure in preaching starts in the heart. Something that stimulates the music in a measure. Measure in the music raises me smart. Casually see, but don't do like the soul. So seeing and doing are actions for monkeys. Doing hip hop, hustle, no rock and roll. Unless your name's Brewster, cause Brewster's a punk. Fans let go, cause there's magic in the air. Criticizing rap, so you're out of order. Stop looking, listen to the phrase of Fred Astaire's. And don't get offended while Mace Dosey does your daughter. A tri-camera low system is now set. Fly rock, do it on the Daisy production. It stands for the inner sound, y'all, and you'll forget that the action's not a trick for show. Everybody wants to be a DJ. Everybody wants to be an MC. But being speakers are the best. You don't have to guess. Feel like so hot, you can speak for free. And that's a magic number. This is piece of the pie. It's not the best of the court that we're trying to see out of every dark time. The effect is with a baby girl in your mind. Showing true position. This is piece of kiss in the part of the pie that reason. Where that negative number fills up the casualty. Maybe you can subtract it. You can call it your lucky partner. Maybe you can call it your adjective. But odd as it may be, without my one and two, where would there be my three? Make time for me, and that's a magic number.
What does it all mean?
Focus is formed by force of the soul. Souls is more style game praised by pound. Coming on speakers is kind of a slow. Strollers and daily creation of new sound. Listeners listen cause this year is wisdom. Raising them other speaker, a dumb and a plug. Set aside illegal substance to feed them for now. Get them high off this dialect. Time is a factor, so it's time to count. Count not the negative actions of one. Speakers are slow, say it's time to shout. Reform the soul to a positive sum. Dance to the sticks and flex every muscle. Space can be filled if you ride like my lumber. Advance to the tune, but don't lose the hustle. Shake, rattle, roll to my magic number.
Now you may try to protect it, but it just won't go away. Three times one.
What is it? One, two, three.
And magic number.
No more, no less. Magic number. No more, no less. No more, no less. No, 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 no more, no less. No more, no less. No more, no less.
Anybody know what he does?
Yo, open up and...
Where you going, Mark?
My feelings are strong.
You better catch him.
I don't know how I let this happen.
Is there
a girl next door, you know? I don't know what to do. All right. Honey came in and she caught me red-handed, creeping with a girl like so. Picture this, we were both butt naked, hanging on the bathroom floor. How could I forget that I had given her an extra piece? All this time, she was standing there, she never took her eyes off me.
Oh, you think I go, man, I can show your villa. If a son of weakness, all of you clean out your pillar. You better watch your back before she turn into a killer. If you view the situation as you call the peanut, to be a true player, you have to know how to play. If she say a night, can she say a day? Never admit to a word where she say, I'm the claim I used to love, baby, no way.
But she caught me on the counter.
Wasn't me.
Caught me banging on the sofa.
Wasn't me.
I even had her in the shower.
Wasn't me.
She even saw me on camera.
Wasn't me.
Saw the marks on my shoulder.
Wasn't me.
Heard the words that...
This is a 2-minute warning. 2-minute warning. We will reconvene in 2 minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, will you kindly take your seats? I'd like to reconvene the meeting. If you'd like to continue talking, please exit the room.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
All board members are due in their seats. I'd like to call upon Andrew McLaughlin now to give a brief summary of some of the observations that were made during John Clenson's technical session.
I'm just giving some notes, and my role here is as a recorder, so if any of the members from the panel yesterday want to make corrections or additions, please just come up to the mic. These are notes from the Tech Track Roundtable, or what later became the semi-technical roundtable. The chair of the session was John Clenson, and he had sitting up at the table with him Daniel Karenberg, Lars Johan Lehmann, Steve Bellef, Randy Bush, Ray Palczak, and Mark Kosters. And what I did was record the sort of action items for the ICANN or the IANA. These were sort of consensus suggestions of good things, specific things that ICANN ought to be considering doing. The first two are sort of grouped together under the umbrella of stuff ICANN should be doing in terms of its own internal procedures. One of those was something that we've already talked about today, which the CCTLD presentation raised, and which we certainly were encouraged to hear them talk about because it's a very good idea, and that is generically improving the IANA's ability to authenticate communications from CCTLD managers, and in particular, having means of communication that are more reliable than a simple email in case of a crisis. And that means developing somewhat more detailed and robust communications procedures, both in terms of points of contact and means of contact. The second item from that list was the need to make the IANA itself fully redundant in its capabilities. As it happens now, everything on the IANA website is archived and made available virtually in real time by the Royal Institute of Technology in Sweden, for which we are quite grateful. But of course, just having the data fully redundant is not really enough. You need to be sure that the procedures and institutional history and so forth could be replicated in the event that something really bad happened to Los Angeles. The second group was something that Daniel Karenberg raised in the context of routing security. And here, the problem is out-of-date or incorrect address registration data in the R Whois database or the RIPE database or a PNIX similar database. And one way in which the ICANN process might help is if the ASO would take a look at the problem and see if there are policy requirements that could improve the quality and accuracy of that data. A suggestion for what you're looking for in the end is that you might require that, from a functional standpoint, for any address you enter, you can get back the name and contact information of a knowledgeable operations person who could address the problems. And this means, in the case of like a DSL network, not necessarily the end user of the address, but a responsible network operations person. The next group were sort of overall process things that the panelists seem to think were good for the IANA or the ICANN to be doing. One is, in general, testing crisis procedures. The second is engaging in more detailed then publicly available threat analysis for the various levels of the DNS hierarchy. And then finally, a suggestion was made that ICANN should analyze how long individual services in the DNS can acceptably be down, and then use that analysis to calibrate your escrow or similar procedures so that they are triggered at the point at which you judge it not acceptable to have a given service down. Then the very last item was that there was a discussion about Steve Belovin's note to the community that really the weakest link in the DNS system as we know it is possibly registrant to registrar communications. The basic question that the panelists discussed was that on the one hand, you could say we'll just let the market decide and among the various registrars and have this be one of the competitive elements, and if somebody doesn't use a secure system, then they're going to be competitively disadvantaged and people with better security will be advantaged, versus the instinct to set minimum standards of security for those communications in the interest of the overall stability of the DNS. And one note from one of the panelists was that ICANN could probably usefully educate the community and the registrars about the likely allocation of liability for screw-ups in order to encourage improvement in that area. So if you have sort of three options there, one would be to set minimum standards, the next would be to educate the registrars about what might happen if their communications with their registrants are not adequately secure, and then the third option is simply let the market decide and let the invisible hand encourage better security practices. So that's my summary. It's a set of action points that I thought was quite sensible and doable, some of which we're working on and others we probably should be.
Thank you very much, Andrew. What I would like to propose now is that we open the floor to commentary from those of us who are here in attendance. And then after we complete that, then I would like to go into a formal board session, during which time there will be discussion among the board members, but not discussion from the attendees, after which we will close that board session and go on to lunch and then reconvene in the afternoon. So let me ask if there are any attendees now who wish to make comments in the open microphone, and remind them to log in at the terminal that's been provided there.
Hello, my name is Sean Donlin. A comment and a suggestion. On the issue of transparency, I've heard this meeting wasn't transparent enough, and I've also heard I can't believe they revealed that. So I think you struck the right tone on the level of transparency in discussing these important security topics. On the other issue about root servers, although I think it's a bit of a distraction, if we want to improve the root server security in any concrete way, the IETF has always been much more impressed by running code than anything else. And if a country has 1,000 programmers out there who aren't doing anything useful, they might consider writing a new version of Bind that has nothing in common with the existing versions. And that would definitely demonstrate their technical competence and improve the security by giving us software diversity, because otherwise we're just simply rearranging the same deck chairs that are broken anyway. Thank you.
Thank you. That's a marvelous suggestion. Rob Luckow, this is for clarification, I hope.
Yes. I don't know whether Daniel Karenberg is in the room, but I happen to know that one of his new projects is to write, especially for root servers, a lean and mean implementation of a name server, which is, has nothing to do with any code of Bind. And this is specifically a project to tackle this problem. Work is going on in this field.
That's very good to hear. Dave Crocker.
Thank you. Dave Crocker, Brandenburg Internet Working. The DNS is a complicated bit of technology. Security about anything is complicated. Combine them, and it's quite a challenge to make it safe and reliable. We might even want to stop using the word security and just say safe and reliable, which seem to be the two things we're most interested in. For this technical realm, the IETF is the definitive authority for producing specifications. The IETF has this very curious process by which, yes, it defines specifications, but it actually is quite explicitly keeps itself out of the market tests. And so the real test of capabilities is that after it's defined, it must get deployed and it must get used. And what often needs to happen, and I would suggest that in the area of security we have at least a decade of experience that makes this important, is that there needs to be some kick to create activity. The recent events, such as September 11, have caused people to be even more motivated to do something than they were before, and they were not adequately motivated before. But being motivated is not enough. They must have places to go to and products and services they can get. So the step of deploying and operating security and safety and reliability features for the DNS is something that's actually a bit difficult right now. There's pieces of it that are not well understood technically, but more importantly, the parts that are well understood technically are understood by only a specialized community. And so it not only is, as has been noted, not only is security an issue for the root, it's a security everywhere. Take out AOL.com and the effect is quite large. Targeted attacks that are elsewhere in the tree need, I think, just as much attention as the root. So let me suggest that there is a role of facilitating improved safety and reliability that is currently an entirely open topic If you want to go find a place to help you deploy and operate, you can't right now. And that is a role that ICANN can help with quite substantially. There is, I think, a difference between the ICANN role of authority and responsibility that it has for activities like the root server versus areas of responsibility for pursuing, which involves the entire DNS. And so, and this was relevant to, I think, some of what Andrew was saying, you may not be able to dictate things to subordinate nodes in the tree, but you can set what one might call operational standards. I could even imagine a certificate of quality that can't be used unless certain criteria are met, and you might pursue that as a BCP with the IETF. But let me encourage you to collaborate, for example, with the three operational groups of RIPE, APNIC, and ARIN, and NANOG, sorry, to try to find mechanisms that will help the average DNS operator do their job in a high-quality way that produces safety and reliability.
Thank you very much, Dave. Let me call upon Eric Dierker.
Yes, Eric Dierker, individual. What I would like to see come of this great security meeting, and I have heard many great speakers and seen many great people speak, is a call to the worldwide users of the Internet that it is in control, that we're doing a good job, that it's safe to use, not to worry, that it's okay. There needs to be a definitive statement from ICANN to the world that the Internet is, at this time, safe and secure, and to use it for e-commerce, to use it for getting up in the morning and reading your news, and to doing it. It's very scary to hear all the points of all the experts that have come here. And this is going out, believe it or not, to many people who are listening to it. And there needs to be an understanding that while all of you wonderful people understand the intricacies and the 10 places where we are most insecure and most probative of attack and that we can be harmed, that you really need to let the people know that it's okay. This thing's working, and it's okay to get on the Internet. And we can use it, and or whatever else we want to do with it. Thank you.
Yeah, I noticed two hands up. Carl had one, and then Andy, interestingly enough.
However, taking the analogy of the automobile industry, they've been working to make cars very safe over the last several decades. However, the users of automobiles should not be encouraged, just like we should not encourage the users of the Internet, to go without their seat belts, to drive with their eyes closed, or to throw away their spare tires. There's still a lot of things out there that users can be harmed by that are actually outside of ICANN's control. We really ought not to make reassurances that we can't live up to.
Mr. Auerbach, that's not what I'm referring to. What I'm referring to is the average user's use of the Internet. A student in a high school in France should be able to believe that he can get on the Internet. His mom shouldn't be worried and cut him off from the Internet. A person entering the Internet cafe in Ghana should not be feeling like, if I enter this Internet, then I am subject to federal control and attack. He shouldn't feel like that all of his numbers and all of his life are attacked. Individual users should feel like they can get on and they can use it. I understand that there are security problems, but what we've highlighted here in the last 2 days is that the security problems are so heavy, get off it. and let's not do that. I'm asking for a statement from the board that we don't do that.
Well, this your request is so noted. Andy?
Maybe you should watch also the scope of ICANN within this issue. ICANN cares about stability, the meaning of the availability of the DNS here. That's our scope. There's issues you just mentioned like privacy, like signal intelligence, like secret services using the internet for whatever kind of purposes and so on, that would need a larger explanation if you really want that broad message to internet users. I would just say one thing, and that is we have to see that the internet as a media or as a communication tool for critical applications, and the meaning of applications, that if they are gone, people will die, because, let's say, medical care or stuff like that. I would say no, that's not what the internet can be secure enough right now. That's not the level we reached. We reached a wonderful communication media. We care about the stability to even have communication in times which are not so peaceful all the way. But the use of the internet for critical applications should be watched out, and we should watch some further issues before we can say that. So I guess the message you're expecting, we cannot give you right away, because it's also not in our scope all the way.
There is a message that that Stewart gave, which I think is reasonable. The internet continues to function. It has weathered a great many different problems. We're trying to make it even better. But I think by no means, could ICANN, or anyone else in my view, simply assert that there's nothing wrong with the internet or there are no weaknesses and there are no problems. The answer is there are plenty of problems. It's a highly resilient system. People can use it, and they do use it every day. Our job is to make it better.
Russ?
Russ Mundy. For those of you that know me, I'm sure you'll recognize that I'm not going to agree with what the last speaker said. I do want to say, though,
that was me, by the way. So what is it that you disagree with?
Sorry. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
You want to step outside? Or...
The last open mic person. All right. Anyway, I want to commend the board for having this meeting focusing on security. I think that's in and of itself a tremendous step forward to recognize that there is something that needs more attention, that needs taken care of. I happen to be involved in both the Cliff Stoll chasing the German hackers and the Morris Worm incident while I was with the government, and it was known as DDN at that point. And the biggest single difference in what occurred in the outside world between those two incidents was not technical in any way. When we were working in the first portion to try to help Cliff catch those guys, we got very little support. In fact, the law enforcement community was told that this isn't worthwhile. By the time the Morris Worm hit, which was approximately 18 months afterwards, there had been enough publicity of various security problems. The response from the law enforcement world and the legal community was dramatically different. And I believe a big part of that was simply understanding that there were real problems that needed to be taken care of. And I think that this board recognizing that you needed to have a meeting that focused on this is an important aspect similar to that recognition in that time frame. Now, one of the things that I have not heard discussed much, though, in any of the sessions, and I think it is something for the board to at least consider, that you need to try to look at the security of the name system in a holistic, full, systematic way itself, to look at it from one end to the other, from, as Steve Belden pointed out, the perhaps weakest security link may be between the registrants and the registrars, but that might or might not be terrible, but it needs to be examined all the way through to where those names are actually used in bits flowing over the wire
to make things happen and trying to make reasonable assessments about where are the places to attack first, what are the most important things to go after first. Secondly, I think it's important for the board to consider that, especially with the areas that you're responsible for, the top level things, that you may be the only group that has a responsibility that can reflect how the whole may be greater than the sum of the individual parts. The overall aspect of the root name servers, of the registrars and the registries, for the good of the entire function of the internet, may have a somewhat different perspective than any individual player and participant has. And I think you need to examine what that is, what that means, and how you should respond.
Thank you very much, Russ. I think much of what you said is inherent in the notion of infrastructure, and that's what this thing is. The next speaker is Tapio Kayanen, is that correct?
Yes, good morning. I think there are many people who take the internet as the life itself. There are no rules in war and love. I take the internet as a telecommunication system. In the traditional telecommunication system, there is in the network always available the calling line identity. And this point refers to the certain problem of hacking and virus writers. Our companies suffer a lot of damage through that activity. This activity penetrates now even to private PCs. And I think it's a serious problem that has not been so much addressed in this conference. Of course, it's not the role of the ICANN to work on that, but what I can do is to address the appropriate international organizations to work on that problem, and I believe it can be solved. It's not, of course, in certain cases very easy, but I think technology provides solutions for these kinds of problems. Thank you.
If I could interpret what you just said, when we are not in a position to take an action because it's outside of our scope, that doesn't stop us from suggesting that others might. Carl?
Yeah, this reflects a, I think, a disconnect in part of the internet architecture, part we haven't solved yet. I look at the DNS as more of a hinting mechanism that tells you roughly where you might find a service, but that what's missing from the general deployment of the internet architecture are services that the first thing they do is engage in a serious identification and authentication dialogue. And right now it seems like the method to deal with that is to turn off those services and don't do that.
Thank you very much. I'm going to have, is it, how do you say your first name?
Paul Jean.
Oh, it's Paul Jean. Oh, you have your last
like
name
Jean-Paul,
first.
But
I'm sorry.
Right.
Yes. No, I could say Paul Jean. That's not a problem. It's the last name. It's Jouvet. Jouvet?
Jouvet.
Jouvet. Anyway, Paul Jean, please.
Thank you. I would like to address an issue that is extremely relevant to the security of the internet, but I feel that has been understated, is part of the reason why the U.S. is extremely exposed to security threat, physical security threat, that is because at times, being in Marinette Array, we have to keep in mind that there's a whole world out there, that there's entire different cultures and different communities that may think about security in a different aspect than we do, and that may not value our standards for security. I think we have to keep aware of what their values may be as far as security goes. And the second thing I would like to bring up is I was really concerned by reading an AP article that the person in charge of security in Parasign that no longer works there said that this meeting, talking about security, was a knee-jerk reaction. And I think that's really worrisome on the part of the person that, not the person, but the group that provides a great deal of the security of our infrastructure.
Well, I hope that you don't think that this is a knee-jerk reaction. My feeling is that this meeting has been overdue in some respects and has been very healthy.
Agreed.
Thank you. Daniel, welcome back.
Okay, yeah, last time, I promise.
No, I'm sorry, I was trying to be encouraging you. We enjoy your remarks.
I have a message to the board and to ICANN in general, and I'm speaking really as an internet user on personal title. I think one of the things that's definitely within the scope of ICANN, and it has come up several times already, is the placement of root name servers. And I think there seems to be sort of rough consensus that having as many of them as we have on the east coast of the United States is something that we should revisit. We have heard from June that work is going on basically having some engineering insight on what good places would be, and that we will see a report early next year. But personally, first of all, I think this is a hard problem. This is not easy to come up with really conclusive data on this. The second is that though you might receive a report in February, it will not be as unambiguous as you might like as the board, and point you in a certain direction and give you a number of easy choices. But I think the board has to, or ICANN, but you represent ICANN, has to be prepared to make a decision to move forward on this, because then otherwise in itself it will be a denial of service attack and you will be part of it. You will be part in denial of, part of denial of service. So, okay, that's one thing. So prepare yourselves. The other is to give you a bit of my personal opinion and guidance on how to go about this. And I think the most single important piece of this is the operator, is the organization, and even more important, the people who are actually doing this. And there's some obvious things that you would want to look for. Obviously, is capability of doing the job. But I think what's even more important is dedication of the persons and organizations involved. And contrary to some what's been said before, I personally don't believe that you can buy that with a contract. You cannot. So if you want to prepare yourself for making that decision, think about what attributes you want an organization and the people involved to have who you want to entrust with this. Give you a bit more hints, I think what you want is independence. So the people who are doing that should not easily be influenced by particular interests, or what's the American word for that?
That's a perfectly good way of describing
it. Yeah, okay, fine. And the other is you want diversity. I think diversity is, as in all the internet and the engineering, and not so much in the engineering, you want to have a diverse bunch of people. And to paraphrase what's been said earlier, you know, do you trust the engineers or do you trust government officials? I think the group you want to trust is a diverse bunch of engineers with different opinions, different backgrounds, who can agree on the necessary things, but cannot agree on the unnecessary things, or on things like doing things that the community wouldn't want. And I think, and to close this off, I think selecting this bunch is not something that was done 30 years ago. It's not something that was done by academics. It was done by John Postel, and I think it's one of the legacies we have from him, that he selected this bunch that kept this stuff running. But you have to prepare to make a decision. Otherwise, you will be part of a denial of service attack, or a non-movement, at least.
Thank you very much, Daniel. Carl?
Yeah, I'm reminded of the movie in, I think,
late 1930s H.G. Wells movie, Things to Come, in which essentially the world is saved by the engineers. It's a well worthwhile movie. It's a well worthwhile movie anyway. The point being, though, is in security what we're doing is often balancing a number of equities, not all of which are technical. I mean, there are social costs of security. We're making the network often sometimes much harder to use, and often exposing trading privacy off for security, various things. And so I don't think we can leave it entirely to the engineers. I think the users of the internet have a very definite voice that needs to be heard in evaluating the security measures that are adopted. These aren't absolutes.
Okay. Lars Johan Lehmann.
I have a few points here. The first one is that during this morning I've heard people talk about security of the name service system, not only the root service, but other servers as well. And I'm still surprised that people want to protect the servers. We're not protecting capital here. We're protecting a service, and the service can be provided from just about any computer on the network. So what you have to protect is not the box. You don't need barbed wire, you don't need guard dogs. What you need is to protect the integrity of the service. And that's probably better done by looking at the procedures, how stuff is handled, rather than guarding the actual box. So what you want to do is to ensure the technical abilities of the staff that handle this. And you want to make the systems so widespread and diverse that hitting the entire system at once is extremely difficult. You don't have to protect each and every of those sites, because if you take out one, that's just a minor dip in the system. If you make sure that you have such a widespread system that taking out one thing doesn't interrupt the system, that's a different approach to security, which is, I think, more and more adopted by the military forces, for instance. You don't put all your soldiers in one place and have very big cannons around it, because your enemy will find an even bigger cannon and wipe out the entire army. You have a few people here, a few people there, and a few people at the third place. I think that ICANN could possibly make a contribution here by thinking about the operations and policy of top-level domains. Does ICANN want to get into a discussion and have an opinion on the entire domain name system as a whole? If so, there is place for recommendations about, I'm not talking about the handling of domain names, who gets which name, that's not part of ICANN's decision, but the stability of the DNS system as a whole. Does ICANN want to say the DNS is a good thing, we need it, therefore we should recommend people to make sure that the system works? If so, guides or recommendations for TLD DNS handling could be something that could be within ICANN's domains. Regarding root servers, someone mentioned the security audit. That's probably a good thing. But first you have to establish what level of security you want to have on them, and you want to have to make a security specification that the operators can meet. And if you do so, if you make a specification for the root servers, you make one specification, and that's a vulnerability in itself, having just one security specification. So even there, diversity is a good thing, and that makes that audit much, much harder to do. Still, I think it's probably a good thing. So you have to have security auditors appointed by ICANN, because I, as a root operator, I'm not willing to let anyone inspect my facilities. I would be quite willing to let inspectors appointed by ICANN inspect it, no problem. But not 200 journalists every year that want you to check out the system. That's not my way. Security on the rest of the internet. The root servers are just part of the internet, but security on the internet has to be demand-driven. Someone must come forward and say, I'm not going to use the network if it's this bad. But there has to be a balance as well. Don't require much, much more security from the internet than you do from anything else in society. If you're, I know a lot of people that say, I will never give out my credit card number on the internet. Well, fine, that's probably wise. But they will happily give it on the telephone to a person on the other end that they don't know, that they've never met. Your hotel reservation, for instance. Did you really talk to the hotel? Are you quite sure about that?
I think these meetings is one point, far from the only one in the world, but these meetings, they are one point where a system that was engineer-driven is meeting the rest of the society, which is not driven by engineers, at least not only engineers. And we have to break a bit from both sides and take it slowly, because we have different traditional agendas, and we have to make these fit together. The internet must turn to just a general piece of the society. It hasn't been that for the past 30 years. It was an engineer thing only, and we had it in our little pocket, and this is our stuff. It's not that way anymore. And we have to gradually, piece by piece, fit it into society, but society will also have to recognize that there are problems that look different in the internet world, that you cannot apply the ordinary business rule, the ordinary legal rules to. You have to look at it in a different perspective. But that's a process that's going to take quite a while, so there will be no fixed results tomorrow afternoon. Thank you.
I suspect your prediction is correct. Chuck, let's see. Yes, Chuck, you're next.
Just wanted to set the record straight regarding Jean-Paul's comments. I also read a couple media articles where a former security director of VeriSign made the comment that this was a knee-jerk reaction. I would like everyone to understand, indeed, it is a former employee that has not been with us for over a year.
Yeah, we could argue about who's the knee and who's the jerk and so on. Okay. Carl Pelz.
I'd like to underscore the point that Carl was making about the trade-offs of social cost and security and the need that others have been making to ensure that there is more voices in this discussion, these costs are taken into account. I'm particularly concerned not merely on the implementation end, but also on the discussion end. This has been a very useful and informative series of discussions on security, but it is also not too hard to conceive that concern about security and stability can be used as an excuse to suppress discussions in certain area, can be used wall off public scrutiny and debate. I point to one particular incident which was very disturbing to me, which was that Simon Higgs authored a draft on multiple routes which he attempted to circulate through the IETF's Internet RFC process, and it was refused circulation on the grounds that even discussing such things in an open manner was somehow a threat to stability. As the concern about security and stability grows, and we are seeing, unfortunately, in my country, a tendency in this regard, certain forces working to curtail basic civil liberties, there is a tremendous concern that the watchwords of security and stability can be used to suppress public debate and public input on important points, and I just ask all of you to be sensitive to that.
Thank you. Sean Brown.
During the root server presentation, root name server operator working group presentation, the question came up about the slow response from the Department of Commerce on the request to change the net names delegation for the Afghanistan server. One of the reasons we had the same thing happen with the Secretary of Transportation, shut down the entire U.S. Airspace. The Secretary of Commerce may not be taking the appropriate response to change that delegation. I encourage ICANN to
to work on resolving that bottleneck as quickly as possible.
I think we got that message, but thank you for reminding us. Dave?
Dave Crocker, point of clarification. The Higgs draft was, in fact, distributed as an Internet draft. If there was any attempt to publish it as an RFC, it certainly wasn't a public effort. The Higgs draft goes directly against a published RFC from the IAB that explains the problems with the, having multiple independent routes.
Carl, and then Mohammed, deal.
I mean, if, for intellectual honesty, I think in terms, honesty demands that we accept all points of view and look at them because there may be value in some of them. And as I published what I've been calling my subversive screed, which I think is a collection of reasonably conservative things we could do to protect the Internet, and one of them is does verge on the notion of competing routes. It's more of replica routes. We shouldn't rule out things that may turn out to be of value simply because of our religious feelings.
Thank you. I just want to come back on the Bruce presentation from yesterday, in which we have noticed that there is a lot of problem of misconfiguration on the GSM system. And regarding the breakout session yesterday, we have noticed that we have a very strong representation of Francophone countries in that this breakout session in order to understand really what's going on. Because we have noticed that the problem of misconfiguration can come from linguistic barriers, and then it's very important when there is very critical session that I can organize in order to make people aware of what's going on, to try to focus on simultaneous translation. It's something that can help. And if you look at in our countries or many countries that they got this linguistic problem, when they got a security topic problem, they have to try to translate and to understand really how to fix it. And it takes time to understand first the language and try to fix it in your language. It's something very hard. So my concern is it's very important that I can try to think about how to improve this breakout session in order to make people really understand what's going on in very small group, because up to now all the sessions that have been organized were in English, and there's a lot of people here that takes time to understand really what's going on. So in my concern, there's some problem concerning the infrastructure, it's okay. There's some problem concerning the DNS architecture services, and then you have some problem of understanding from people who run the network, and we have to do something about that. So I just want to think about recommendation, not to train people, but recommend more and more and often to organize something in their language in order to know and to know how to fix this problem of infrastructure. Thank you.
Perhaps later we could get some sense for where we are on the translation questions, the multilingual questions. Are there any other comments from the attendees? Well, I thank you very much for taking the time to bring your views to us. And I think now what I'd like to do is to formally convene the board to discuss the results of the last several days. My expectation is that there aren't too many concrete specific actions that that we could put together, but let me suggest to you that if we do want to take any specific resolutions, that we might discuss the areas in which these resolutions might be of interest and then actually formulate them for the meeting in the afternoon rather than trying to formulate on the fly resolutions that we might try to adopt. So there will be time in the afternoon to take specific and formal actions if the result of this discussion merits that. I just didn't want anyone to feel the pressure that you had to instantaneously create a resolution on the fly. Carl, are you waving your pen at me, or is that...
Yeah, but I was willing to. Since I have lots to say, I'd rather everybody else go first.
Okay. Well, actually, let's see. I have a hand from Stuart.
Thank you, Vince. I'd first like to absolutely thank so many people who... you know, generously gave their time the last two or three days in highlighting and illuminating and educating and bringing forth and discussing on this very, very critical subject. I think it shows that the ICANN community, number one, takes security in whatever form you want to phrase that extremely seriously, is prepared to discuss openly what the issues are, and to think carefully about how we can move forward. It's the internet is obviously, as someone said, a very complex organism, and I'm going to actually make a little bit of a statement, if I might. And it's grown with a spirit that's one of harnessing a lot of talent and a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of dedication, in a very collaborative sense, and not to kind of some top-down hierarchical planning. And that, to me, is something that we have to make sure that we don't tamper with in anything that we do. I've never believed that beating on someone creates a result. I don't believe that, for example, tough agreements with some segments of the community is going to do anything in terms of producing better results. It might produce liabilities, but not produce results. I've never seen a tough agreement that causes an engineer to have a very bright idea in the middle of the night that can solve a very difficult problem. So I want to make that clear. I'm reminded a little bit in this discussion of the old story that we all remember from our childhood, perhaps, of the competition between the sun and the wind to prove who was the strongest. And they took as a test of this to see who could cause a traveler walking on the street to take off his coat. And the wind went first and blew and huffed and puffed, and all the traveler did was tighten his coat tighter and button it up. And when the sun came out and cast its warmth on the traveler, of course the traveler took off the cloak and there was no contest. And I rather like to think that I'd rather like ICANN to be much more like the sun than the wind. I like it to cast warmth and light, and not, pardon the expression, blow wind.
That will be on a t-shirt.
Yeah. The minutes will show that the board broke wind.
So it's been very gratifying to me to show that this meeting has been about casting light and not being defensive in trying to close up everything what we do. And the meeting in many ways has been, I think, very reassuring. There is a lot about the internet that works very, very well, and we should not forget that. And it's been, I don't want to say, disturbing, but it's raised issues that clearly we need to think about, not just the issues themselves, but how we progress in addressing them. Several things have come home to me. That this is not a problem that is best divided up into little pieces and let every little piece work on its own. Someone mentioned the word holistic. I think the DNS is a very wondrous holistic organism that has many pieces that stretch across. So how should we continue? Well, I'm sure all of us have ideas on this, and as Vin said at the beginning, we probably need some time to gel on some of those ideas. But I was struck by several of the comments of the speakers. Steve Bellavin yesterday, for example, who I think did a very good job of dividing up what might not certainly not belong to ICANN, but yet what also ICANN should consider. And I think that one of the themes he struck is that there are priorities involved and needs as well to encourage certain directions, and through the right kinds of mechanisms, ICANN might need to do that. And it's Bruce Schneier who talked about different ways of viewing priorities about what's the most important between protection, detection, and so forth.
And I saw a lot of this in the DNSO statement and, in fact, some of the remarks that Dave Crocker made before. What's occurring to me is that if we just leave this meeting and feel good that we've talked in illuminating, I don't think we will have been responsive or responsible to a community out there who has expectations that we will not instantly create a perfectly secure internet, because we know that's not possible, but needs to know that we're doing collectively to our communities all that we can to achieve that. It seems to me that and I just want to put this on the table because it may be shut down or maybe for discussion, that there's perhaps a need in ICANN. You know, this sounds like the last refuge of bureaucrats, but I hope you will see that it has an intent that makes sense. That there's a need in ICANN for a standing committee on security. Not one that's composed of board members, except perhaps as individuals, but composed of people who really can help provide the right guidance as to where we should go. And I'm not talking about a committee that's going to tell the various constituents of the community what to do, because I think we've seen the last couple of days that our community takes this problem very seriously and works very hard in a very dedicated way. But one that could really help, and I don't have all the charters worked out, but help coordinate policy, help highlight priorities, as Steve Bellavin suggested, not necessarily to set those priorities, but to make sure there are mechanisms in place that can help and develop the setting of those priorities, and to work with the various aspects of the community to look as well at whether in the intersection in the fabric, where there are places that need to work more closely together, registrars and registries, whatever it may be, to help bring the priorities into focus and to help, as Dave Crocker said earlier today, facilitate some things that may need to be facilitated. So I'd like to at least lay that on the table and see what the reaction is to that, because I agree with Vince. It's going to take us a while to digest everything that comes out of this meeting. There's been some excellent suggestions, but that may be one thing that we put forward, and this committee indeed, if we put it together, can help digest what's been suggested and help facilitate some of the things we need to do to go forward. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Carl, would you, you had your hand up earlier.
Yeah. Security is really hard. I mean, the first time I met you was 1974, and we were working on security. And I don't think we're going to come to an answer immediately in any respect. And one of the aspects of security I want to focus on is that we need to think of not necessarily total disasters. I mean, once upon a time, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I had a city, and at 5:04 in the afternoon, I didn't have a city anymore. We had an earthquake, and it was just literally the city to rubble. And we were cut off, and we didn't have power, we didn't have water, we didn't have much of anything. And we did get our local internet going. We dragged the internet through the trees. We had our tree-spanning network. We had all the tools we needed to rebuild our own little local community, and that helped us get reattached to the rest of the world. And the lesson to be taken from that is there's a lot of value to have enough information out there, enough tools, that people can recover at least their local piece of the network. If we had sat there waiting for FEMA to come along and save us, we would have been there for months. And from much of the discussions I'm hearing over the last few days, there was this notion of ICANN or some other top-level things will recover the network. Well, the network's going to be recovered from the bottom as well as from the top. And I think it's really important that one of the things we do is make sure that there's enough information flow, particularly in the sense of DNS zone files and configurations and what have you, so that people out on the periphery have enough pieces so they can at least create temporary pieces of DNS to get themselves going. and they'll throw it away once real DNS gets going. Now, this won't cause instability because the network will, by definition, be unstable at that point, at least from their local point of view. And thus, I'm encouraging, for example, the free availability of zone files so that those of us out near the peripheries can capture and cache information so that when things go seriously south or north, depending on your perspective, we have information that we can recover. And I think these are, that sort of thing and other techniques like that are just critical for getting the network back up quickly after a disaster. We know that there will always be attacks that we can't protect against. We need to make sure that we have means out there to speed the recovery. And I don't think we focused enough on these mechanisms to provide self-help mechanisms.
I think that's a really interesting notion, Carl, and I wonder if I could try to expand on that a little bit. It looks to me as if the recovery from various kinds of failures is not just one thing. There are lots and lots of different kinds of failures and lots of different ways in which you can recover from them. In some cases, it's a question of putting enough redundancy in the system so that it literally automatically recovers from certain classes of failure. And in other cases, it's more like what you were describing, where there's nothing left and you literally have to sort of scrape everything together in order to start the fire again. So I'm sort of hearing things like, clearly, planning is needed, is what you just described as a planning process. Identifying what information needs to be available has to be done. It's not too different than what you're told to do in the event of a hurricane or an earthquake or something. You have a certain amount of water that you always keep around, food, blankets, radios, batteries. It sounds like for various parts of our internet world, we have to identify what the emergency kit looks like. And make sure that everyone at least is aware of what that what those options are. We can't force anyone to adopt these procedures necessarily, except perhaps those parties with whom we have a very direct relationship. But at least we can take seriously informing people how they can protect themselves from these various kinds of failures.
And a lot of it is really inexpensive, but you don't necessarily think about it. Things like flashlights. A little fluke wand to run around cables to make sure you're not going to electrocute yourself if you cut them. Little things to make sure you got grounding. You don't want to plug in your brand new machine you've just assembled out of whatever cannibalized parts that you're not going to blow it up because it has no grounding. CD-ROMs that have the information on it. You just need to have all these fairly inexpensive little pieces.
Of course,
but you need to have thought about it first. Like your phone number should be written down on a piece of paper, not on the computer that you can't boot because it doesn't have any power. You know, simple things like that.
Let me ask whether there are any comments now from the other members of the board about priorities, for example, that emerged from the last 3 days of discussion. One of them, I want to reiterate, it sounded to me like we could do some serious work with IANA procedures in order to grade the degree of validation and verification that we think is necessary to take certain actions, so that some actions may be so serious that they appear to be a complete and total redelegation of the top-level domain. That takes a fair amount of coordination. On the other hand, if somebody needs to change the IP address of a server and we know who the other party is, we ought to be able to do that quickly. So there, we need to sort of rate the various procedures and figure out how much protection we need to invoke in each of those cases. Rob?
Various speakers at in the last couple of days in various presentations have pointed out that one of the most serious potential dangers waiting for us is sort of next generation denial of service attacks, highly distributed. I'm a bit surprised that I'm not surprised that a lot of effort is being spent by very good engineers to try to protect the targets on places in the network close to the targets. It's my understanding that most of these attacks are being facilitated from the other end of the attack chain by sources, and the sources are computers which are being sold to end users in a state which makes life for these attackers so extremely simple. With other words, a consumer buys a computer in the shop around the corner, has a two-page instruction manual, takes it out of the box, plugs it in, pushes two or three buttons, and is on the internet, not realizing that he has just created another playing field for potential denial of service attackers. I think there is we are talking here about responsibilities in critical situations. I think there is a certain responsibility by the manufacturers of software to deliver in end users' consumer products, to deliver them in a state that is a little bit more unattractive for potential terrorists, denial of server attackers. This might be costly, but security costs money, and if you want security, everybody should put his dollar on the table.
It costs in two different ways. One of them may indeed be money, the other one is convenience, and it's an amazing tension that we invariably run into. We want the security and the safe feeling that things are always going to be protected, and yet we are frequently unwilling to take the steps that are needed, that are inconvenient in order to achieve it.
Right. I think in reality Microsoft has a near monopoly, so it doesn't matter very much how convenient or inconvenient adding security to their operating systems is, which in my view are very inconvenient anyhow.
On the subject of denial of service attacks, Steve Bellman pointed out that those attacks are very difficult to defend against. The ISPs have limited tools depending on the nature of the attack. There appears to be some research going on that, roughly speaking, goes under the label pushback that Steve and others are involved in. It seems to me that while we don't have a direct ability as ICANN to do the research, we could certainly highlight our interest in it and relay to those researchers that we would like very much to see some results and that the ISPs would consider adopting them. Let's see, Carl, did I miss anyone else? It's Carl and, I'm sorry, Kato-san, then Carl and Rob.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I may change the topic a little bit because I'm not focusing solely on the technology issues. During the last 3 days, I think I learned a lot about the security. And the meeting was very informative for me, and I thought the meeting was very timely. And I learned that the internet is secure, reasonably secure enough, but also found many challenges that we are facing right now. In that sense, I think we should think where we are going from here, and I support the proposal the steward just made. Not because I'm sitting next to him, but I believe that we should continue to focus on this security issue. It is a very important issue, and we have to tell the world that ICANN is on this issue for a long time, and that's a priority issue. And when we are thinking about some sort of a ongoing committee or some group of people, that's I think I should be a coordinating committee among various stakeholders and basically among everybody in the world, and that could be a coordinating function for two purposes. One is internally for the ICANN and ICANN related people. We had all sort of people in relating to internet during the last 3 days, and we should have a very broad group of people representing those different groups. This committee should also be a coordinating group for the outside of ICANN and the internet world, because we learned that the security issue is not on the ICANN issue. ICANN has a very limited scope as its mission, and because of that reason, we should have this group as a contact point to outer world of ICANN, so that we can continue to talk and get two-way feedback from and to the global world. So I strongly urge the board member to think to create something like that committee to continue to serve on the security issues.
Thank you. Carl, I think, and then Ron.
Yeah, this is following up on the distributed denial of service notion. And they are very difficult to trace back, and there's an unwillingness on the part, even if we had the technology, the pushback technology, there's still ISPs who aren't going to deploy the equipment or aren't going to be willing to turn it on. And this may be a really bad idea, but I was just wondering to what extent we could use our authority over IP address allocations, which are of interest to ISPs, to induce them to be a little bit more helpful in this respect. I'd like to hear from the ISP community.
I'm feeling very conflicted about this, Carl. Actually, I would like to point out that at least some of the ISPs are, in fact, very cooperative in this regard. I can remember developing DOSTRAC software. I didn't do it personally. Some of our engineers did, and we released that and made it available to any ISP that was interested. I actually had not heard that there was as much problem as you were describing, so maybe I should hang out at Nano more. Rob? Oh, I'm sorry, Carl.
Well, let me just finish. For the notes on the screen there, I'd also like it to be mentioned that this may be a really bad idea.
Rob?
Yeah, I still want to come back to my earlier point. Security, in a sense, starts at the home. I think I can could and should issue a statement pointing this out, that that the current state of consumer-oriented software is a potential security, has a lot of potential security holes. It's up to the manufacturers of this software to point out that it might not be convenient for them to do it different. But I think the message should be made clear that they do have a responsibility.
And it's fair to say, by the way, that it's not just the distributed denial of service attacks that are the problem. There are viruses, worms, and all the other application level stuff.
There is a lot more. It's a very rich collection.
Now, trying to stay focused, though, on things that affect the area of the net that we have direct responsibility for, even those worms, in fact, can have a very direct effect on the DNS servers themselves. So, especially the ones that propagate outside of email. So I would concur with you, Rob, that we would do well to at least remind the manufacturers that what they do affects everything, including our areas of our responsibility. Hans Klein, Hans Klein, I think.
Thank you.
Not yet.
Yes. Now it's working. I've learned, like Kato-san, a lot during these meetings, although I found sometimes I was more in the ITF meeting than in ICANN meeting. The level of technology was reaching a point where I believe that it went away from ICANN's basic mission. I'm impressed by the amount of knowledge shared during these meetings and the awareness raised, and at least from my perspective in the board, that was a very important aim. I've seen also that the internet is very resilient towards disturbances, but improvements are possible and necessary. The main thing I've learned is that the word security is improper. We cannot build a secure internet. We cannot build secure systems. But what we need is a careful risk analysis of the systems we're operating. And that's the end-to-end analysis, but also the analysis of the individual elements in the system. So both the holistic approach and the element approach is necessary from the risk analysis perspective. I believe that to assist us to move further, there could be a plea from ICANN to create an external audit system. I've heard some remarks during these days that auditing the risk analysis you make can transmit to the community a view on the seriousness and the quality of the system you operate. And I believe that that ICANN could facilitate the setting up of an external audit system which every, and I believe that was also a message from the GEC, every part of the chain could fill in for itself. As I've said before, I've noted that the industry takes the risks and the challenges very seriously. And I think that ICANN should continue to promote that. One other element, which is a little bit off topic, but I would like to share it with you, is that these days the information sharing offered by ICANN has proved very important. And I do hope that we may continue for the next ICANN meetings to offer and facilitate conference-type information sharing on other elements of the Internet. So I hope that we may, for the ACRA meeting, for example, devote some time to IPv6 and other topics. I would support the Standing Committee on Security if we can refocus not on building security through that coordination committee, but to facilitate careful risk analysis of the Internet. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Hans. That's an excellent suggestion. Plainly, I was struck by Bruce Schneier's comments yesterday as well, that it's all about mitigating risk, and that the procedures that you put in to do that have varying costs, and you have to balance the costs against the effective risks that you're taking. Do any other board members wish to make comment? Nee.
Yeah, I just like to recognize that part of the security challenge is the human beings, and maybe ICANN can facilitate the strengthening of the operators who are a little bit further out from the center of activity in this area, because that might improve our response in case of a problem.
Very good point. Alejandro and then Carl.
I think that if we are going to task this committee with a couple of well-defined things to do, one of them is, of course, to promote and foster this risk analysis, and I mean things we usually do in our security analysis of computer centers, huge networks, and so forth. The other one is to ask a focus on outreach and facilitating the knowledge specifically for the areas where we're concerned. And I think there we could also very importantly be calling upon the help of the specific activity of the supporting organizations. If I can not only make it a board task and a committee from the board or integrated with people outside the community, but really recognize that the main name supporting organization, the TSO and the ASO, can have much more focused contributions to make, and the committee of the board and the board itself would be looking more at making this more integral, more cross-connected and cross-fertilized.
Carl?
Yeah, I think we also want to recognize that as we move into internationalized domain names and internationalized registrations, that we're going to discover that we have it's going to become more difficult to recover, because we are going to have people who don't speak one another's language, and the records are not necessarily going to be immediately readable by each one of us. That's just something we have to recognize. It doesn't mean slow down in internationalization. The other point I wanted to make is I think we ought to encourage people to start thinking when they develop new services on the Internet to start layering them on top of DNS rather than trying to impose yet another job on DNS. By making GNS try to be the jack of all trades, we're increasing its vulnerability.
I think a lot of engineers would applaud that. I certainly will. Any other comments? I have one action item that I would like to make sure gets done, and sir, let me ask if you could facilitate it. I want to make sure there is a resolution by the board, specifically thanking everyone who developed this program and participated in it, because I want the record to show that it's been extremely useful.
That will be on this afternoon's agenda.
Thank you. Well, do I detect the kind of winding down or maybe information overload in the board here?
Yes.
And perhaps as we get closer to noon, a similar feeling is showing up in the rest of the attendance. So unless there are other items that the board members wish to discuss in this part of the meeting, perhaps I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Before we do
yes.
that, I saw four members of the board, or heard four members of the board, support the notion of a committee. Even though we can't specify precisely in a short time, would you like a motion at least for the board to consider this afternoon that would facilitate that?
Yes, indeed. I think that would be a helpful contribution, and we could debate the that matter in more detail in the next meeting. Alejandro?
We'll come back to the point of thanking people who have made this this meeting possible, and add an additional comment that I've realized that people from, in particular from non-commercial or developing country organizations have been enormously aided by attending this particular meeting, because besides participating in the decision-making and policy-making around ICANN, they have also been able to attend what I think was a superb training session, and the feedback I get back from these organizations and people is that the training experience for them has been extraordinary. So I would come to two points. One of them is maybe pick up on Hans Reinbrink's point that we should be careful to include some information sharing, value-added training in the programs whenever relevant. It also makes it easier for people to get funds to attend these meetings when there's a clear training objective to be acquired together with anything else. And the other one is that I would like to express personally, and maybe in the afternoon consider a thank you notion, but I express personally my gratefulness to the people that have made this funding possible, which is channeled through the Southwest Seminar and comes from the Ford and Marco Foundations. It's a very, very significant thing.
We'll add that to the thank you resolution.
And Frank, for me, sorry, there's a number of these.
Sang-Hyung.
I just like to say that I also support Stuart's idea of the standing committee, and I would like to as one member of the board, ask him to prepare a possible resolution for this afternoon's board meeting.
Thank you.
There is a seconded motion on the table, despite our procedural wandering here, to adjourn. Is there anyone who would object to that? Apparently not. In that case, the meeting now stands adjourned until 3 p.m. We invite everyone to have lunch and then to rejoin us at that time.
Open mic.
I'm sorry. 2 o'clock. Open mic. I beg your pardon. Yes.
No.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just want to make sure everyone understands. I misspoke. We are returning here at 2, not at 3, for an open microphone. Then there will be a board meeting.
Thank you.